This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
First and 10 at your own 22. Hand off Barkley. Runs left. He's got room. He's up to the 40, 50. It's a foot race to the Redskins 30. No one's going to catch Barkley. He raises his hand and celebrates. Touchdown, Giants. 78 yards for the rookie sensation, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, nothing says macho like two tough guys like Bernie and Sid opening up their Monday morning show with Taylor Dane. Nothing says tough guy more than that now, does it?
Remember
this classic 1988? This song, by the way, is exactly 30 years old this year. 30 years old. And it was a great album for Taylor Dane back then.
And by the way, I loved the song when it was out.
Yeah, so did I.
And I like listening to it now.
The whole album was good. There was two or three songs on the album that ended up being huge hits for Taylor Dane back then. Tell It to My Heart. What's the other one? Love You.
Love Will Lead You
Love
Back.
Will Lead You Back. That was her right. Ballad. That's right. Anyway, she's going to join us today. She's got a new Christmas song out. And the name of it is I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. Brand new Christmas song from a girl that was a big hit when we were kids, Taylor Dane, and she's going to stop by today.
So. Long Island girl.
Yeah, back then it was like Debbie Gibson and Tiffany.
Yep,
those were the stars, and she was one of them, right? She was before the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, that class.
Yep. That is true.
Yeah, so very exciting stuff.
Well, I'm thrilled. She's coming in live, Jill?
No, she's not.
She's calling.
She's got a new memoir.
I'm not so thrilled.
She's got a new memoir coming out, too. It's titled Tell It to My Heart, and it comes out on Valentine's Day, which will forever be ruined for me, Valentine's Day, because I can't help but think that last year on Valentine's Day was the Parkland Massacre. So I'll always remember that. And Danielle and I celebrate it every year. We make a big deal of it. I know some of you guys don't, but that's always going to hit me first now. And I guess part of that is, and I hate when the media does this, but I guess they found like 1,000 pages of notes on this kid, Adam Lanza, who killed all those little kids in Newtown. So both papers today, the New York Post and the New York Daily News, both have long stories, 2-page stories on Adam Lanza, the stuff he wrote, the stuff he was thinking, how much he hated humanity, how much he hated kids, yet he goes on to say, but I would be a really good father.
He's sick.
I mean, jeez.
Yeah, a little deluded.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, what ruined Valentine's Day for me was when I was in my 20s and I went home. My girlfriend was in bed with two guys.
Yeah, that would suck.
Wow.
That would really suck. Especially being the guys were Imus and Charles McCord.
Oh!
That never helps.
So, Bernie, shut that damn door.
I'm a bitch.
So we started the show there with Saquon Barkley, the rookie running back for the Giants. Nobody is saying these days, why didn't the Giants take a quarterback? Oh, my God. This guy goes for 170 yesterday. Now over 1,100 yards on the season, getting 5.4 yards per carry, setting a Giant rookie record, 13 touchdowns, one more than Odell Beckham Jr. had a couple of years ago. And not only will this guy win the Rookie of the Year easily, this guy may be the league MVP. I mean, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, this guy's the most electrifying player in the National Football League. He really is.
I agree. He's incredible. And he made one mistake yesterday, and he was very humble about it. Told the teammates, listen, I'm sorry. I'll make up for it. And he certainly did. Made up for it big time, as a matter of fact. He's just a nice, mild-mannered, behind-the-microphone guy, but a beast on the field.
Just a complete beast. And the Giants now have won 4 out of 5. Now, look, their season is over. They're 5-8. Even if they win every single game remaining, which would be quite an accomplishment, they were 1-7 at one point. To go 8-8, they're not going to make the playoffs. But 3 more touchdowns for Eli Manning. It was such a lapper for the Giants, if you folks that don't follow it. The Giants drafted this kid out of Richmond College, Kyle Lauletta, to possibly be the future at quarterback when Eli Manning leaves. Well, the Giants were up 34-0 at the half, 40-0 in the third quarter over Mark Sanchez, who was completely outclassed in the Washington Redskins, that the Giants inserted this rookie quarterback in the fourth quarter, and if he's the future, it looks bleak, Bernie.
The future. The future doesn't exist.
No, not with him.
Not with this clown.
No. 0-for-5 with a pick.
Yeah.
He may have been nervous first game, blah, 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 but...
So he claims,
right.
But...
he's not good.
Right.
No, not good.
I mean, who's not nervous? You know, and you got a bunch of 300-pound animals...
trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Don't
right.
get nervous.
Yeah,
right.
Even Trump gets nervous.
The whole thing is just... But it didn't work out well for him.
No.
In and out. And I kind of felt sorry for Mark Sanchez.
Oh, I didn't. I'm a Giant fan. I want them to kill him.
Well, see, that's where... You don't rise above.
No. I don't rise above. I don't care. It's a good day for the locals. The Jets and the Giants both won.
It was, yeah. Great day. Sam Darnold, another great performance on his first day back.
Yep.
So.
Good day.
Doesn't mean anything, but.
No, the Jets are 4-9. They're going nowhere. The Giants are 5-8. They're going nowhere.
Good to see Jameis Winston get into a spat with his center.
Got ugly.
It got a little ugly. I think they were debating whether or not Macron should put the fuel tax on the French people. And
you think that was it? Either that or maybe they were going over what Nadler said yesterday on CNN, which is the president has committed impeachable offenses. Doesn't mean he'll be impeached, but according to him and the Democrats, he has committed impeachable offenses. That may have been the argument Jameis Winston got into.
No, my sources tell me it was definitely
the Macron.
Carbon tax for the environment. And they were calling Macron the Marie Antoinette
of the
21st century.
Funny part is that fight happened when they were killing the Saints in the first half. Then New Orleans came back in the second half and blew out Tampa Bay. And by the way, when you couple the Saints win at Tampa Bay yesterday with the Rams loss in Chicago to the Bears last night, once again, the Saints are tied with the Rams for the best record inside the NFC at 11-2. Listen, there's lots of sports today. We've got a Heisman Trophy Award winner who pulled a Kevin Hart many, many years ago. You got the winter baseball meetings that start today in Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, which may mean Bryce Harper has a new home. Manny Machado has a new home. So there's a ton of sports. But what did you do this weekend? How'd it go for you? What did you do this weekend? On a more important note, what did you do?
You mean after I got bailed out for the DWI arrest?
That's right, yes. For your third one.
not much. I kind of slept it off.
The whole weekend, that's all you did was sleep it off.
Well, after the I don't remember what happened during the night. Next thing you know, I'm in a holding cell.
Ay, ay, ay.
And my wife is driving me home.
Oh, God, I've been there. It's the worst.
Then I slept all day Sunday.
Yep, sounds familiar.
So the weekend just flew by for me. How about yourself?
I had a very busy weekend. First of all, my daughter, my beautiful daughter Ava, spent time with Jill and her family on Friday night at Madison Square Garden.
She was so cute, her and her friend Claire. They were dancing away to those awful songs.
Terrible songs.
That my girls were dancing to.
Camila Cabello?
Camila Cabello was great, but Cardi B, the lyrics that she sang, and all these little girls
were
repeating it.
She's garbage.
What's
Cardi B?
What do you mean?
At Jingle Ball.
What about the lyrics?
The little girl.
Oh,
like,
it's all F this, F this.
Google the song Drip. That's what she sang there, Drip.
And she was singing to a teeny boppers, 13-year-old girls.
No, yeah. 8 to 13-year-old girls.
That's who likes her.
Yeah. And
which is gross.
And they're bitching about Baby It's Cold Outside.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
isn't that unbelievable?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
You know it, Mikey.
Yeah. So that was a Friday. Then Saturday I went to Long Island, your neck of the woods, and a good buddy of mine, Andrew Nip, married a longtime friend of Danielle's, Stephanie Scadell, a lovely Saturday night wedding on Long Island. That's, I know you saw the pictures.
Very sweet.
Very, very nice. And then yesterday, I actually got invited by my buddy Bobby Kirk to go to the Heisman dinner. Kyle Murray.
Oh, good.
Haskins
good.
From Ohio State.
Where was it?
At the Marriott Marquis. Used to be at the Downtown Athletic Club, but that got destroyed 9/11. So now they have it at the Marriott Marquis. But
I've been to it, actually.
Yes, you have. You told me that.
When Eddie George won the Heisman.
From Ohio State.
And then after that particular, after he won the award, I was in the hotel room with him upstairs.
How about that?
I know.
What were you doing in a hotel room with Eddie George?
I mean, I was up with a bunch of people.
Oh, okay.
Don Cricky was the
intermediate.
I was Don Cricky's boy for the night.
Okay, gotcha. Cricky did Notre Dame. I think he still does Notre Dame, right, all these years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I had that opportunity, but we were invited, talking about Long Island, to go back to Long Island on Sunday to our good buddy Eyal and Danielle Vazana's house to celebrate the last night of Hanukkah. So I decided to do that. So me, Danielle, and the kids went to Long Island, and I got there about 3:30, and we were there until about 8 o'clock last night. Had a wonderful dinner, lit the last candle for Hanukkah, got home about 9:30 last night. So Saturday wedding, Long Island, Sunday Hanukkah party, Long Island. I was all over Long Island this weekend.
Not only that, throw in Sid Sports Sunday.
That was yesterday morning.
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a busy weekend.
I got up yesterday, did my show here. Then I ran home and I met Gabriel at karate. Then I took Gabriel from karate to get a haircut. Gabriel and I finished our haircuts. We got dressed. Hopped in the car, went to Long Island, and got back last night. Yeah, it doesn't stop.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't, do the pub crawl at SantaCon.
Oh, my
on top
God.
Of it all.
I saw these idiots, a bunch on motorcycles, now, listen, a bunch walking around the city.
Let me just warn you on one thing. Take it easy just a little bit.
Why?
Because my daughter actually went to SantaCon.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? They're idiots. Not your daughter.
My daughter would concur, by the way.
Okay, good.
It was her first SantaCon and her last.
Yeah. I mean, I took the train about 3 or 4 times on
so
Saturday.
Crowded.
And not only crowded, but they're drunk.
Drunk, very drunk.
And they're not fun drunks. They're just like loud and stupid.
It makes, these are a bunch of scumbags.
Thank you, Maxine.
It makes St. Patrick's Day look like the Israeli Pride Day parade.
Basically. Yeah, it really does. And St. Patrick's Day, you kind of expect it. You know, everybody's going to get drunk. But to see somebody in a Santa Claus outfit, to me, it's almost, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
idiotic.
No, besides idiotic.
Comical, farcical.
No.
A juvenile.
It's all those things.
Yeah.
Every one of those words works here. But what's the word I'm looking
Describe
for?
Describe what you want to say.
Well, it's because it's like a religious thing. It's like a nice thing. And they
sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious. Thank you. There it is. Don't you find having a drunk Santa Claus, thousands of them, isn't that kind of sacrilegious?
Well, I don't look at Santa Claus as the religious part of Christmas.
Well, he's not.
It's the secular part.
Right.
But I appreciate your sentiment, being a Christian, that, yeah, in some way, shape, or form, it is...
it's nasty.
It is that.
You shouldn't dress as an elf or a Santa and go and be publicly drunk. You know, little kids sit on Santa's lap. You know, my son, he sees a drunken Santa, he's like... That's not the guy I sat on.
Exactly.
His, it's not cool.
Right. No, not at all. Not at all. So see, and my daughter was, she said that one of her, she went with this crowd. Somebody has an apartment, went with a crowd to a bar. The bartender didn't like the tip he got. He starts jawing with one dude. The dude gets thrown out. Then the dude, when he gets thrown out, gets mugged by 10 other SantaCon participants.
It was a big brawl.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm done with this nonsense.
Yeah. Don't blame her. So Taylor Dane's going to stop by today. Yardley Smith. And who exactly, Jilly, is Yardley Smith?
She's the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Ah, one of the greats. Oh.
She was also in, did you ever see that movie, The Legend of Billie Jean?
No.
Okay.
Bernie, you?
Nope. No. Would that be Billie Jean King or
no.
Michael Jackson's
Billie
Jean?
The Legend of Billie Jean.
I guess the Simpsons did celebrate their 30-year anniversary this year, which coincides with Taylor Dane's song.
Yeah.
Both came out in 1988. So we're going to celebrate a couple of 30-year anniversaries today, Bernie, with the two ladies that, Taylor Dane is famous. I don't think most people can pick Yardley Smith out of a lineup.
Oh, yes.
Can I tell you, 1987 was the year I started working for IMUS.
FAN, right?
Yeah, 30 years ago.
31,
to be exact.
Somebody shoot me.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Always a million stories on a Monday, local stuff, national stuff, all the sports, all the entertainment. So we're going to have a great show. Phones are open all day long. Two or three great guests. It's a Monday morning with Bernie and Sid here on 77 WABC, and we're coming right back.
What did I call him?
You call him a little peckerneck.
Oh, okay. What's it got to do with you?
Well, I'll lose my little buddy.
What's it got to do with you, Sandtrap head?
Not too much, scrotum face.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, as you know, we heard last week that Kevin Hart, well, yeah, he's gotten the boot. He will not be hosting. Kevin Hart will not be hosting the 2019 Oscars, which are on Tuesday, December 4th, 2019. So he, of course, announced on Twitter, Instagram, social media, that because of all of those homophobic tweets, he got in hot water with the Academy, so he's not hosting. So who will now host? Well, it's not official yet, but a lot of names popping up, including Kate McKinnon, actor, producer, rapper Will Smith, maybe even Dwayne Johnson being named. Melissa McCarthy, she's expected to earn an Oscar nod for Best Actress, too, thanks to her leading role in Can You Ever Forgive Me? And maybe a lot of the folks who hosted previously also in the running here. Ellen DeGeneres, now she hasn't hosted the Oscars since 2014. Even Jimmy Kimmel being named as a possibility. Billy Crystal, remember he stepped in for the 2012 ceremony following Eddie Murphy's withdrawal. Whoopi Goldberg, too, being named as a possibility. Maybe even Hugh Jackman. Yes, okay, it's early. And I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Seems like nobody wants that gig. Nobody wants to host the Academy Awards. I mean, you really can't. It's kind of a no-win situation. Do you make Meryl Streep happy and piss off half the country? Do you not care about Meryl Streep and then the folks there don't want you next year? To me, it seems like a no-win situation.
And not only that, they get paid a mere $15,000 for the gig.
That's it?
That's it.
No, that can't be right. I think Billy Crystal was getting $1 million.
That's a fact. That's what Jimmy Kimmel got paid, 15 grand.
Oh, my God.
15 stinking thousand dollars. And the crowd is so hypersensitive that some of the older names would work. But what they want to do is try to get guys like Kevin Hart, some of the younger names, to bring in the audience because it's been diminishing over the years. And those are the guys that have problems.
Yeah.
You know. So nobody wants to do it. I mean, it's in this climate, you know, you're just setting yourself up to get kicked in the teeth.
Yeah, Kevin Hart, it comes out that he had some homophobic tweets.
And he used to do jokes, too, and the gist of which were that if my son grew up to be gay, I'd be disappointed.
Right. So he's got to step down from the Academy Awards. Yet Kyler Murray, and again, this is sports stuff, the quarterback at Oklahoma who won the Heisman Trophy Award on Saturday, did the same exact thing. He tweeted stuff when he was 14 and 15 years old.
He liked to use the word queer.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
And what does he do? He wins the Heisman. He's already been given about $5 million by the Oakland A's as the 9th overall draft choice in the Major League Baseball draft. He's been telling everybody, I'm only going to play baseball. I'm playing baseball. But now that he won the Heisman, now he's starting to think like Deion Sanders and or Bo Jackson and play both. Point is, Kevin Hart steps down. And Kyler Murray had the greatest weekend of his life, and they both did the same thing, tweeted nasty stuff about homosexuals.
Years ago, and not recently, and getting killed. I don't know what the ramifications will be for this Murray kid, but...
None.
Probably not.
None.
And the same thing with Kevin Hart. I mean, you know, have a few pops with Anderson Cooper at some point, and
right, that's it.
Tweet a
Andy
few...
Cohen put him in the that show at night, the clubhouse.
Right. Yeah, he'll just talk his way out of it. And a few I hate Trump tweets, and he's back in everybody's good graces. But he said about the Academy, you know, F you, I'm out of here. I don't need this crap. And they were only too happy to see him go.
Yeah, talking about a few Trump hate tweets again. Trump did come up yesterday, the Sunday shows. Nadler, that disgusting idiot from here in New York, going on and on about how they are ready to impeach Donald Trump and what he did by paying off McDougal and Stormy Daniels are, in fact, impeachable offenses. He didn't guarantee he would be impeached, but he thought they were good enough for impeachable offenses. Tony is in Queens online, too. He heard the same thing. Good morning, Tony.
You know, one thing with regard to Stormy Daniels and McDougal, you know, Cohen paid off those two whores with Trump's own money. He didn't use taxpayer money to do it.
He didn't use campaign money. There was no taxpayer money to be used at the time because they were all private citizens. But yes, that's true.
Exactly.
But Nadler's not saying it has nothing to do with the money. What he said was, even though he did this stuff before he became president, paid him off to kind of pull the wool over the voters' eyes, he was pulling a fast one so the voters didn't know. It's nothing to do with where the money came from.
Okay.
If it came from the campaign chest, then Trump would be on the hook for sure.
No, but I'm not talking about being on the hook. I'm not talking about legal ramifications. What Nadler is saying is, just by pulling the wool over the voters' eyes, by paying this thing off before it became public, even though it happened before he was president, that's an impeachable offense. That's his claim. It has nothing to do with legal ramifications, whether he can, you know, have to pay back. Had nothing to do with that. What he's saying is, Trump pulled the wool over the voters' eyes by paying this girl off before this became public. That helped him win the presidency. That's an impeachable offense.
Well, Adam Schiff, one of his cohorts there in the Congress, he says that the president could face jail time over this. And
right.
That the day he leaves office, he could be indicted by the Justice Department.
This is Adam Schiff saying that, Bernie. Here it is, exactly what Bernie just said. Here it is, straight from the horse's mouth.
There's a very real prospect that on the day Donald Trump leaves office, the Justice Department may indict him, that he may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time.
Yeah, well, may not. But again, he's getting his people's hopes up for another big disappointment. And plus, he's motivating Trump to win more. I mean, if that's what's going to happen the day you leave office, you damn sure want to win 2020, so it happens in January of 2025 as opposed to January of 2021. But again, now we should ask Alan Dershowitz this: if the hush money was used to avoid this publicity coming out to pay these two women, so that he could win the election, that's campaign related. And even that might not be illegal, but it may or may not be illegal. But definitely what's not illegal is if he paid the money to avoid embarrassment to his family.
Right, but you can't prove that. So
right, exactly.
Their contention is going to be he paid the money so he can go on and win the presidency. And according to them, that's an impeachable offense. Now, he may not get impeached. People may say, it was to pay. He don't want to embarrass his wife, blah, blah, blah. But their claim is what he did by hiding that is an impeachable offense.
And as you said, they can't approve it. They cannot prove it, and he'd never get convicted in the Senate.
No, I don't think so either.
So it would be an exercise in a wasted 2 years, and it might backfire just as it did to the Republicans when they indicted President Bubba.
Well, impeached, right.
When they impeached President Clinton, that's right.
Talked about, there he is, Taylor Dayne and Yardley Smith coming on today. Yardley, the voice of Lisa Simpson. And she's done some other things throughout her career. Maria in Nassau County on line 5 wants to point that out. Good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning, guys. As always, I love the show. Yardley Smith was in one of my all-time favorite movies, As Good As It Gets.
That was a great movie.
She was the assistant to Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Jack Nicholson was great in that movie.
Oh.
And yeah, it was a great movie, and she was very good in that. Very good.
Yes, she's a very funny lady. Yeah.
That was 97. She was also in, thank you, Maria, City Slickers with Billy Crystal all the way back in 1991. Very small role, but yeah, she was in a lot of movies in the early 1990s.
And we have her today.
Yes, we do.
That's what we do here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Right. We bring you on like 30 years after you're relevant.
We bring you the stars of the 80s. We're like the Dancing with the Stars of radio.
Basically, that's us. We're actually more like the Surreal House. Remember that show?
Kinda.
That was with, they had like Jose Canseco. They had the little midget who peed in the living room. What was his name?
Vern
Troyer.
Herb
Rest in peace.
He was hitting on Peter Brady's wife, the one who won the very first ever, Tyra Banks.
Oh, yes, I remember her name. And also that woman was on there, Flavor Flav.
Brigitte Nielsen.
A cast of characters.
Well, that's kind of like this show. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
We bring on Taylor Dayne and Yardley Smith.
By the way, Taylor Dane, though, she's a big, popular local girl. That's a that's an attraction. And as the woman pointed out, I mean, these people are still, you know, they want to be heard from.
By who?
By her. what was that lady's name?
Maria.
Yeah. Maria. I saw Yardley Smith in as good as he gets.
What do you have of her? Saying something? What do you say, Jill?
I did get that scene that Maria was talking about.
Oh, you did?
It's a little scene, but yeah, we have
Well,
it.
Play that on the way out, right. Then Bernie and Sid will be right back.
Simon, you're broke. The medical bills are $61,000 now, and the show didn't go well.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
A few moments ago, as Mr. Gottlieb just said, I pleaded not guilty to the charges against me. I did that for one reason, because I'm unequivocally not guilty of what I'm being charged with. I was shocked when I was arrested, and even more surprised that the government was accusing me of running a complete sham, as they put it, and also saying that I had, quote, no deals to purchase any tickets at all. Their words, not mine. Those accusations were and are false, but were widely reported as fact.
Here's Craig Carton, former morning show host of the Boomer and Craig show on Boomer Carton, I should say, WFAN. Guy that I worked with on three different occasions. And in fact, my very first partner ever in this business, Bernie, late 1990s, Scott Kaplan, who I've talked to you about many, many times.
Sure, sports guys.
He was, but before we even became very good.
Oh, really?
Before we became sports guys, we worked together down in Fort Lauderdale when I started my career. And we did come to WNEW together and host a sports guys show, you're right. And eventually Scott was fired. He went to San Diego and he has spent the last 17 years in the same spot in San Diego. And they replaced Scott with Craig Hart. But even down in Fort Lauderdale, when I first started in this business, late 1990s with Scott, Craig worked with us there too. So Craig worked with me and Scott at Sportsline. Craig worked with me hosting mornings at WNEW. And then, of course, when I filled in for many years at WFAN, I worked with and saw Craig many times as well. So that was him proclaiming his innocence. We know how the trial went. Didn't take long. Guilty. And he continued to profess his innocence.
It was shockingly quick. It was supposed to last a couple of months.
Yeah. It was over quick.
It was like a week and a half.
Yeah. And he did, you know, he sent me a very nice message on Thanksgiving, thanking me for my support and being loyal, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean to say that, blah, blah, to minimize. It was very nice. But he did come out with this tweet late Friday afternoon. He said, I wanted to take a moment to check in and thank the thousands of you who have sent me your well wishes and prayers. I don't deserve your kind thoughts at this stage of my life. And while I appreciate them more than words can ever describe, I would kindly ask that you do the same for those who I have hurt as a result of my actions. Family members, friends, co-workers, investors, and loyal listeners. I let all of you down. I betrayed your trust, and I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a stunning turnaround, and it sounds like a very contrite individual.
I think so. Now he's getting bashed by few people, very few. The overwhelming majority are like, you know, good luck, and people make mistakes, and we wish you the best. But, of course, there are some that revel in these types of things, and they're yelling, oh, now your sentencing is coming up, so all of a sudden now you feel the need to do this. It may be both,
look,
by the way.
They're right to be skeptical. There's the, you know, I mean, in this day and age, anything is possible. But who knows? Yeah. I mean, you judge for yourself. Is that sincere or?
I think it is. I'm actually worried about the kid,
or
to be honest.
Or is it to the judge?
It could be both. Why can't it be both?
Why not?
Why can't, you know, in an effort to make sure the sentencing on Feb 27 doesn't go really, really bad. And at the same time,
right,
maybe he's with his family. It's the holidays.
You don't want the prosecutor saying, and he shows no remorse.
Right.
He continues to deny all.
Right.
No, this is a win-win for him. So, listen, I'm not going to kick a guy when he's down, and he is really down.
Yeah.
He's facing a lot of jail time.
Yeah.
I mean, not even Anthony Weiner time, at least, well, his colleague got 6 years because he flipped early on.
Well, he has two colleagues. Michael Wright got 2.5 years. Joe Melly got 7 years. And they're claiming at least that Craig kind of orchestrated the whole thing. So he would get more, I guess. I don't know.
You would think that the guy that didn't, that was stubborn, would get more than the ones who flipped. The sentence that of the person who got the most time, he would get more than that person.
Right. You would think that, yeah.
Anyway.
We're all in this together.
Thank you.
We wish him the best.
Yes.
Now, these, not that it matters, but sometimes these federal penitentiaries, it's not like, you know, Attica.
I know. Arthur Idala explained that to us a couple. He called one of these places actually camp.
Yes, it's not as horrific, but just being away from your family and just being locked up in a whatever it is,
it's horrific.
Even if it's a 4-acre facility,
it's horrific.
It sucks.
You're still in a cell. You know,
You're in a. You're in
what a hotel room?
You're in a bunk situation with a group.
Oh God,
I know it sucks, but it's not a cell.
Well, someone like Craig, he's well-known. Does he get separated from...
He's not that well-known. Calm down.
I know, but...
This is not Menendez or O.J. Simpson.
He's not Bernie Madoff.
No, he's not getting separated. No, okay. No. But again, he's not going to be in a maximum security prison.
No.
So he's not going to be in there with rapists and murderers and people who want to kill him.
What you do is, and I've known people who have done time, is they call it, you adjust. Any prisoners out there, just say, you want to give us a call, 1-800-848-9222.
What are you talking about?
Listen, you adjust. And you make the best of it.
Is this from experiences?
This is from people I know.
Oh, people you know, right.
You adjust. Right. That's the word. And you things change. And then it's a new life. And you forget about the outside. You make the best of it. And you do your time. And it flies by, hopefully.
But how could you forget about the outside when you got kids?
Well, it's not
that's
easy.
That's my only issue.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what you do. You psychologically prepare yourself for it, and that's what you do while you're in prison.
Yeah.
This is what I hear.
You can forget your spouse, but you can't forget your kids.
You get a job, and then everything. Your whole life is the prison.
Yeah.
And you make the best of it. And if it's minimum security, you're watching TV, you're reading books,
you're
playing sports.
You work out.
Plenty of working out, The upstate body, as they call it. My wife often refers to guys that are like yoked. You know, 20 times our size after spending time in prison as the upstate body.
Don't let me get to the sex part either.
Well, that's not going to happen where he's going.
This is voluntary, I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
female guards, you mean?
I'm not talking about... they wrap you in the head and throw you on a table. It's about 20 guys take in line. That's not what I'm saying.
No. Well, we wish him the best. We really do. And at least he'll be home for the holidays and his birthday. And we'll see what happens from there. So, but that was a kind of a scary message when I saw that on Saturday morning. It is the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here on a Monday. We've got two great guests. Lots going on, by the way, in Washington, D.C. Bunch of people were asked to leave and left on Friday. So Donald Trump needs to replace some of those folks. We'll tell you how that's going. A crazy weekend in sports. Lots more to do. Bernie and Sid on a Monday. And we're coming right back.
The more you see, the less you know. The less you find out as you go. I knew much more than I do now. Neon hot day glow eyes. City lit by fire. Advertising in the skies for people like us.
Wrapping up hour number one on this Monday morning, Bernie and Sid. Great to be back. Hour number two coming up. Take your phone calls. Busy weekend in news and politics and sports. And coming up this Friday right here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, our Bruce Springsteen tribute show. Bruce is calling it quits on Broadway. Big Netflix special coming up. Everybody very excited. Big article in Esquire magazine. Bruce Springsteen, who really ruled Broadway the last couple of years. It is all over this week. So Friday, the big Bruce Springsteen tribute show. We'll give you more details about that. Going to be a lot of fun. Deb's got the news. Hour number two, some more Bruce Dukes.
Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims and strap your hands across my engines. Together we could break this trap. We'll run till we drop. Baby, we'll never go back.
La-di-da. 33-year-old Faisal Koto served our city as a firefighter for 3 years here at Engine 245 in Coney Island. This morning, while off duty, he got into what seemed to be a simple fender bender that somehow ended with him dead.
7:07 on your Monday morning. Welcome back to the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Had some fun the first hour. Promoted our guest coming up later on today. Pop star Taylor Dane, 9 o'clock hour. Yardley Smith. She spent the last 30 years playing Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons. She'll be here in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Talked about the big Bruce Springsteen tribute show here on Bernie and Sid coming up on Friday. All the great sports, a Jet win, the Giant win, Kyler Murray winning the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, the winter meetings in baseball starting today at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. So some big names may be on the move. Guys like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado did all that last hour, but we start here with that story you just heard. Another really nasty local story where, once again, Bernard McGurk, gangs are involved.
Gangs?
Yes. The guy that beat this guy to death with a baseball bat is a gang member.
A reputed gang member. That's correct. But it sounds to me, when they say reputed gang member, it sounds like more like a mafia style as opposed to...
Not a mafia style.
As opposed to, you know, one of these.
No, it's one of these, what you're talking about, one of these stupid gangs. They even have the name of the gang here in the paper. Not a mafia guy. I got to find the name of it, but it's one of these, you know, Trinitaros or one of these.
Trinitaros or whatever the hell.
Well, okay, no, so he wasn't a member of that group, but it's one of those types of things, yes. It's not the mob, it's a gang. I got to find the name of the gang.
But either way.
Yeah,
I don't know if they. I don't know what happened. They don't even know what happened. If they actually had a minor collision, or it was just road rage. They were just racing each other. But this fireman, this 3-year veteran fireman, he pulled over himself voluntarily, and the dude that killed him pulled in behind him, and they both get out of the car to sort of settle whatever happened. And he got bludgeoned over the head
with a baseball bat.
Is the way it sounds. Yes.
Yeah.
And so the upshot is, again, I've said it before, is if you're going to get into it with somebody on the road, you have to be prepared to fight to the death.
The guy was a member of the Latin Kings, by the way.
Now, how do you know that?
It's in the paper. Here it is right here. Police are now looking for the Infiniti, which is either gray or silver, carries New York license plate JEA2402. Sources say the car is registered to a Latin Kings member with a lengthy criminal record who's on parole after spending time in prison for assault. Police would not release that motorist's name. So they know who he is. They know the gang he's affiliated with. And they don't have him right now, but yeah, he's a gang member.
They're going to get him. They will get him. But it sounds like it was a random road rage attack, regardless of what gang he belonged to. And that's the danger of engaging with people like that on the road.
You just don't know. I mean, he had a baseball bat. People have guns. I mean, how many times? Yeah. We saw stories of those football players a couple of times in New Orleans. Will Smith, the former great New Orleans Saint.
And Joe McKnight.
Right, the former Jet running back. Right. Both gunned down in road accidents in New Orleans.
And they get, because people just get absolutely apoplectic on the road. They just get sick. They get nuts.
And this guy's a bad guy. He's a gang member anyway, so.
Yeah, to boot. Right. So you never know who you're engaging. That's why I say you got to eat whatever happens to you. You eat whatever they do to you.
That's it.
Like it was a ham sandwich and just continue on your way.
Or be.
Swallow your pride.
Or be prepared to maybe fight for your life.
To the death. That's the way it is. That's the only advice. That's really good advice for any of our young listeners out there right now, because it's tempting to get into a race or you know, give them the middle finger and all that stuff. And this is what it leads to.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it leads to. It's oftentimes it'll go away, but oftentimes it won't.
But it's funny you say this, because I can't help but think that at some point this week, as you make your lengthy trip from Madison Square Garden back to Long Beach, that inevitably you will give somebody the finger. There's no question.
Never,
oh, there's
never,
no question.
No,
I can't
never.
See Bernie doing that.
You can't?
I not only talk the talk, I walk the walk. I swallow it. I get into
I wouldn't say that either.
Jill, look at Jill. You filthy yeah, mind.
Me too.
You filthy animal, you.
I give the finger all the time hilarious. To people that drive too slow. And I
Well, you're a
them.
Girl.
It's a little different, right?
But I get into it with people, you know, like on 35th Street, just trying to get to the Midtown Tunnel, trying to edge in here, there. And sometimes the mirrors get close to touching. Well, they actually touch. And guys get crazy. And I just let it go. I just let it go because I know what it could possibly lead to. It's not going to lead to anything good.
Right.
It may just be a fight. And then it's going to be, you know, half of morning radio duo arrested for fighting on 35th Street with, you know, with a FedEx guy.
Innocent driver.
Yeah, some innocent driver. And then I have to defend myself. You know, maybe he's going to swing a bat and I'm going to have to whip out a crowbar. I don't know.
Everyone's in a rush.
I just don't. Yeah. I don't get into it. I let him go. You got it, buddy. It's all yours.
See, at least once a week, somebody will brush into me, even push me on the train, and I will say something. I'll be like, hey, asshole, what are you doing?
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
All the time.
Especially not on the subway.
At least once a week, and it could be 4:30 in the morning,
but it's usually,
or 4:30 in the afternoon.
It's usually somebody in a wheelchair in your case.
That's true.
But if it's a big badass, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You want my seat?
Nope. I've started a couple times with big, well, not started. I mean, they would push me, big badasses, as you describe them. And I'd be like, hey, come on. What are you doing? You know, saying, excuse me. You know, what are you doing?
Well, one day we'll be reading about you.
Well, yeah, maybe.
You have saying, to let it go, Elsa.
I can't let it go.
He was a good guy.
When you're on the train for 20 minutes and three or four different people just bump into you, they don't even apologize.
It's no different on the road. When you're on the road, it drives you out of your mind.
Yeah.
It's maddening. It took me, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, a week and a half ago on a Friday, the entrance going east, which is the way I want to go, was blocked because some idiot hit it. I had to go out the west side, and I want to get to the Queens Midtown Tunnel. Now I'm heading towards the Lincoln Tunnel. It took me like 45 minutes to get to the Queens Midtown Tunnel, and it's maddening. And then you got idiots and a-holes who are trying to cut you off and do this, that, and the other. Mirrors touching.
Aye.
And then they're looking at you. They're yelling. They're trying to get your attention, and you have to just ignore it or else – you're going to end up like this cop or something maybe short of it.
Not a cop. He was a fireman.
I mean, a fireman. Something short of it, but it's not going to be good. You just have to let it go. You have to let it go.
It's true. Everyone's in a freaking rush these days.
Everybody is amped up. They're angry. They're pissed. And they want to fight.
They got short fuses these days. You talk about short attention spans. I got short fuses.
I wish there was a way to
If I knew I was going
to
win the fight, I'd be like,
yo,
bitch, what you did, man? What you did? If I knew.
Right.
But I don't know.
There's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
No.
I might end up like, you know, like a vegetable, and I don't want to do that.
No.
But if I thought he was going to end up like a vegetable.
Oh, you're in.
I'm out of the car in 2 seconds. You son of a. Let's go.
Yep.
Come on. Come on, you F-word. Get out of the car.
Well, I'm glad you turned this into some comedy. The poor guy's dead at the side of the Bell Parkway.
Guy's beaten to death with a baseball bat on the Bell Parkway.
You're joking around here.
Speaking of which, locally, too, a cop was shot last night.
Is this one on Staten Island?
Yes, responding to a domestic abuse. And the guy, it was almost like death by cop. The guy was like, shoot me. They tased him, too, and it didn't work.
Hmm.
And so they ended up having to shoot him.
He's dead?
He's out. He's dead.
All right, good.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, good.
But if they had what that Bo Dietl always advocates for, that bolo wrap.
Right.
Could have wrapped him around his legs. Anyway, the cop is in critical condition.
Yeah,
These police saw he's responding to a domestic abuse. It's a jungle out there, folks.
It is. You know, you would think.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
You would think this time of year with the the holidays and Christmas and New Year's, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. People are just freaking animals.
They just are.
I hate people.
Were people always this crazy? Like back in the day? I don't think so. It just seems
People have always been savages.
I don't remember road rage when I was a kid.
Well, you were a kid. Of course you don't remember.
No, you didn't
drive. I don't
remember
my parents complaining about it.
Well, of course.
But, you know, you as a woman, you're giving people fingers.
Well, this is what I hate. When people are in the left lane doing 50 miles an hour, and you have to get somewhere, and you have to pass them.
We all hate that, yes.
And then so you pass them, and then you give them the finger as you pass them. They'll teach them to go in the right lane if you're going 50.
No, listen, that is a common occurrence, and it's very annoying.
Isn't that against the law to drive
But to give people a finger, you gotta curb that behavior.
No, you don't.
Come on.
They got to get out the left lane.
Boot them instead.
Come on, Grandpa. What are you doing?
You got to bump them.
That's what the right lane
cheeks.
Is for.
That's what you got to do. That's harmless.
I don't know.
Get out of my way.
I feel bad for this guy. He was 33 years old. And
what a way to die, too. Just get beat to death by
the side
a baseball
of the road
bat.
4:45.
My God.
He belonged to the Coney Island firehouse.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
It is terrible. God rest his soul. 1-800-848-WABC. Hoping they find this creep. 1-800-848-9222. Gang member. Real tough guy. We'll come back on Bernie and Sid on a Monday right after these words.
Everywhere, people pissing on the stairs, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, if you are looking for something to watch tonight, the 9th annual CMA Country Christmas special that airs tonight, ABC. The host, well, it's Reba McEntire. And musical acts tonight, Tony Bennett, Amy Grant, Martina McBride, Brad Paisley, Michael Smith. And guess who's heading to Cooperstown? Two baseball greats, the 16-member Game Era Committee, making their announcements at their winter meetings. Longtime closer Lee Smith and smooth-swinging Harold Baines. Yeah, they've made it. They're headed to Cooperstown.
So they got to put George Steinbrenner in the Hall of Fame. He got suspended. He had his issues. He was kind of a rogue guy a couple of times, but you got to put Steinbrenner in the Hall of Fame.
He was on the list.
I know.
And along with Lou Piniella. Lou Piniella didn't make it either.
Yeah, and Luke should be in too, mostly because of what he's done as a manager and a player. But Steinbrenner just had a huge influence on the game.
He needs to collude with some Russians. Get some votes.
That'll get him in.
Also not making the list, Oral Hershiser, Albert Bell, Joe Carter, Will Clark, and Davey Johnson, too. And Charlie Manuel, they were actually on the ballot, but didn't end up getting the votes they needed to head to Cooperstown. Yep, I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Thank you, Deb.
The classic, Guy Lombardo. 7:27 on your Monday morning, folks. Don't look now, but Christmas is right around the corner.
You know, not only did he conduct a great orchestra, but what a great football coach as well.
That's right. The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Close, Guy Lombardo, Vince Lombardi, but I know where you're going with it.
What happened?
15 days away from Christmas today, which makes us 22 days away from 2019. And I don't know about you guys, but I always want to do something really fun and special with Danielle. But, you know, what happens is, it becomes like a pressure thing. So, hey, what are we doing for New Year's this year? Well, because what happens is, you know this, Bernie. When you're a kid, New Year's Eve, you get just demolished. You just get effing wasted.
Absolutely.
You know? And then there comes a certain point in your life, every adult does this, where you say this. New Year's is for amateurs.
Yeah.
Kind of like the night before Thanksgiving. That's for amateurs. You want to be a real tough guy? Get up on a Tuesday night for no reason.
Exactly.
And then you still get wasted on New Year's anyway.
Well, I don't. But some a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. I mean, they just, you know, they go out for a nice dinner. They'll go home, watch the balls drop.
Now. I'm talking about now.
Yes.
But back when you're in your 20s and
30s. Well, that's different.
It's for amateurs, but let's go out anyway.
And do it anyway, right. But you still want to do something. So the conversation has started in the Rosenberg household. You know, what are we doing for New Year's? So, in fact, we were with very close friends, Paige Richmond and Oren Port this weekend at the wedding Saturday, at Andrew Knipp's wedding. And they're going to be there, and maybe we should do something together. And, yeah, that's a great idea. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, then it's like, well, Sydney, what do you want? I want to do something. Now, do you ever do anything on New Year's Eve with your wife? Do you ever leave the house?
I worked the last few years for Fox News.
Oh, right. That's right. You did.
You
like that because it took the pressure off.
Well, I liked it because it was fun. And not because of the pressure, necessarily. I went to O'Reilly's house New Year's over the past few years, worked. And when I wasn't doing any of that, we would hang out with friends at a house, and good friends, and have a nice evening.
Carol ever say to you, let's do something different? I'm kind of bored of these same old friends.
No, I mean, that was back in the day. We used to go out.
Yeah.
But no, as you say, New Year's is not a night to go out. It's not a night to venture out.
Because you make it sound like the Purge. Don't venture out.
No, you know what you're doing is you're going at all those people that were here on Saturday for SantaCon.
Yeah.
You're going out with them.
No, I know. Believe me, I know.
So that's why it's a night to just gather in somebody's house or apartment.
You wouldn't even go for you wouldn't even go for a nice dinner?
You could do that early and then go out. But usually the people who are hosting the party have a dinner. At least my friends do.
Well, if they host a party.
Maybe yours make you bring a sandwich.
They
or something.
Do. That's right.
Sure.
Right. Shake Shack. You got to bring some Shake Shack.
Yes.
And what time would you recommend to start early? Would be what time early? I'm just curious.
I would say 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
You go have a few pops, eat 11 o'clock-ish, go back to the pops, and wait for to ring in the New Year's with your friends.
Okay.
I do that every single year.
So is that what you're doing this year?
That's the plan.
And who's this? Mike Breen? Who will be some of these friends? Because I don't know if I really have any friends, to be honest. Friends.
I have plenty of...
Give me an example of one of your friends.
Well, I've told you about my boys Dave Wiener and Eric Berkowitz throughout the years.
No.
Kaplan.
Those are different. Those are your friends.
Yeah, and then my wife's friends. They're all friends.
Oh, they are.
Yes, they're all neighborhood guys except for Wiener.
Yeah, because when we hung out with Dave Wiener, Carol wasn't there. Just
no, she wasn't. But at other times, he had a house out in Comac. We would go out there, even for New Year's, believe it or not. They would come to our hood.
Yeah.
I have plenty of friends. I don't want to name them by name.
Well, you're lying. You don't have plenty of friends. You have like three friends.
You have no friends.
Like three, basically.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I have more friends than I can entertain and socialize with.
You have what do you call these people? They're not
My friends.
They're acquaintances. They like you because you're funny and you're famous. Hang out with people.
We have kids in common. Yes, that's the impetus for when you have friends. Whoever the friends of your wife are, those are going to be your friends.
That's true.
And that's the way it was with me. And my wife was friendly with a lot of people in the hood. And we became very good friends with people in the hood. We had all kinds of people, the Gregors, the Ehrlichs, the Shapiros. I mean,
all Jews,
and still
by the way.
Did.
Yeah, all Jews.
Well, whatever. We have friends, plenty of friends. And Rick and Laura. I don't want to give their last names.
Don't do that.
They lived in Lido Beach. They finally moved out.
Dear friends.
This is the first year that we won't be attending their New Year's Eve party because they moved to Manhattan.
Ah.
Their kids went to college. Mm-hmm. The kids aged out. And they moved to the big city.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
Luke and Laura from General Hospital.
I could even give you in fact, the guy Rick is friends with Ron Kuby because their kids are in the same class at Georgetown Law.
Nice.
I mean, I have mucho friends, my good friends.
How come you don't see anybody ever? I just don't get it.
Because in the past few years, I had a very, very hectic schedule. I got a little older, and I had a very, very hectic schedule, and something had to give, and it was my social life, much to the chagrin of my wife.
Mm.
And I stopped drinking for the most part, and I stopped going out on the weekends.
Again, but now it's all coming back because your schedule's lighter now.
You started out with New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve was always the exception. I would go out on New Year's Eve if I wasn't working.
Well, you're not working this year.
That's right, and I'm sure... We have plans to go out. I don't know exactly what they are.
So that's my point. So there's not been any real discussion like, what are we doing New Year's, Burn? What are we doing? None of that yet.
Yeah, well, we already decided we're going to get an 8-ball. It's once a year.
Crazy, Bernie. It is one crazy dude.
We get the 8-ball, and that's why we don't eat much at the guests, at our host, I should say, home.
Yep.
Because you know what it does to your hunger.
Sure. You're not hungry
at all. But still, we have a great time, and we carry the conversation.
Now, Matt's still a young single guy.
Yeah.
Living out there by Barclays Center in Brooklyn and, doing his thing. So you must have like 10 different plans, right?
I wish. I have like two options right now.
What are these?
One is to travel back up to the Hudson Valley.
Maybe that's the guy you should be talking to, not me. I got more plans. I got more invitations and plans and friends than I can keep up with.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What are these two options, Matt?
I either go back up to the Hudson Valley and hang out with my friends and all of their wives and just be
there. But you don't have a wife.
No, exactly, yeah.
Right.
Loser is right, but then
I got to go home. My kids, I have to take them to hockey tomorrow. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sleeping in. Okay, good. Good for you.
Yeah. But I could either do that, which I've done for a ton
What's
of years.
What's the second option?
I could go up to my friends in Astoria. She's having a party that I was invited to. So I got a couple options right now.
That's cool. Yeah. It sounds like the worst possible night ever.
Well, listen. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me anymore. Like you said, I'm sure I'm young-ish, but I'm not like out there, you know, like the Santa Con kids.
I was Meanie's age once. I didn't get married until my early 30s. And if you're in your late 20s and you're single and you have nowhere to go on New Year's,
that's pretty bad. Seriously.
He's got two options.
Oh, they're two terrible options. Yeah. Hanging out with a bunch of married couples in Hudson Valley.
Right. They're like, it was a sympathy invite. Let's invite Meanie anyway, all right?
By the way, here's a text from Danielle. She says, and I quote, "Can you tell Bernie to please give us Rick and Laura's number?"
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It has to be.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. The thing is, I love you.
What?
I love you.
How do you expect me to respond to this?
How about you love me too?
How about I'm leaving?
Doesn't what I said mean anything to you?
I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know you're feeling lonely, but you just can't show up here, tell me you love me, and expect that to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way.
Well, how does it work?
I don't know, but not this way.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled.
Classic Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, of course, When Harry Met Sally. And what a great New Year's Eve scene right there. And that could have easily been Rick and Laura. Could have been any one of Bernie's Gentile or Jewish friends. Who knows?
I left out the Antonics, too, by the way.
Who are they?
Great people. They throw parties at Christmas.
What are their names?
The last name is Antonic. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Just throwing them all out there. I got oodles. I got scores. I got too many.
Uh-huh.
All great people.
And you never see these people, ever, but...
I see them on occasion.
Every now and then.
I do.
Yeah. Well, Jill's going to invite a bunch of people over to her house for New Year's
Eve. I like to be home on New Year's. I like to be with my kids. I like
You just hit the nail on the head. If your kids are going to be home, and if they're going to be, your kids at that age...
I told them to invite their friends to our house.
I like to be with my kids.
Yeah.
Me too. That's the one night we let Gaby stay up till midnight. Ava, I have no idea when she goes to bed. I have no idea. I walk in 4 o'clock in the morning to get ready the next day for work. The TV's still on for the night before. There's a cup of tea laying there. And
Ava is Olivia, so she's up probably till 2 or 3.
Well, we had this conversation. She's Olivia, except she gets straight A's.
Exactly. She does better in school, but right. She's Olivia.
But even when I go out on New Year's Eve, and usually it's local, you don't want to go anywhere and have to drive home.
You don't want to be on the road in the burbs.
No,
all these
you don't.
Drunk
so
drivers.
I would. We would often make a point, and still do, if one of the kids are home or both or whatever, go home before midnight.
And watch the ball with
yes.
them. Yeah, that's
go
what we do with games.
And,
yeah.
and make sure you're home yeah. at by 11:45
yeah.
and share it with the kids.
You know, I have these cousins on my dad's side of the family. They live in New Jersey, but it's kind of like Long Island, same type of thing. They're nice people. But they would actually smoke pot with their kids.
I knew somebody who did that as well.
And they were like, well, I would rather my kids get high with us than be in front of the mall or some ratty home. I thought it was really sick.
It's ridiculous.
And don't get me wrong, Jill, because nobody loves you more than me, not even Vic. But I swear to God, my cousins, yeah. I'm not going to say the names, Bob and Sandy, when I think of them, I think of you. Like, that would be your type
of... I would never smoke pot with my kids, ever.
Well, no, but you may allow... You're on a trajectory to allowing them to smoke in the house.
No.
Because your mentality, your thought would be...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have them smoke at home than at somebody else's house and then have to get home.
Not with the smoking, but I would allow, say, like, Olivia to hang out with a boy.
Have sex.
Or drink.
Right. That's okay.
Room,
right. Right. That's okay.
When the appropriate age occurs.
Right. Now...
I'd rather her... No, not now.
There you go. You get the picture, folks.
No, would you rather your kid do it in your safe house
Look,
than in a
hotel? You are a parent. You're not a friend. I mean, this is an age-old discussion
you
between
be both.
People.
I'm friends with her.
I understand. I have a great relationship with my kids, but...
We go shopping
I've
all the time.
Never, especially when they were underage, I never had a drink with them.
No.
And even after they were of age... this past summer we had some pops together, but they're in their 20s. My son is 25; she's 23 now.
My kids haven't drank
so
of
it's different.
He has.
But still, you don't get liquored up and wasted with your kids.
No,
and that's what some people like to
I
do.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, you start when they're teenagers. Oh just so I'm glad I can see them doing it, and I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's okay, and they're like, they're doing that and something else.
Well, that's the point. Like, the idea that, you're more comfortable with your kids doing these things, whether it's sex or drinking or drugs in front of you, that doesn't mean they're also not doing it when they're not with you.
Right.
So now they really become users and slutty, and, hey, we can do it at home and in that motel down
that's
the road.
That's right,
no,
Sydney.
Kids,
you know.
Yes.
They don't do any of that stuff yet. I know for a fact.
Yes, of course you do.
I believe them. No, they're not banging.
Brady for three.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to Jill's house for New Year's Eve because that's where the fun's going to be.
No.
All kinds of crazy stuff's going to go on.
Why don't you guys come over to my house?
Is there like an abortion fund?
Oh, my God.
There's a GoFundMe page we could put up.
A GoFundMe.
What are you going to do with your house
in case?
Like, what are you going to have? What are you going to have, like, games?
Well, we have a dartboard.
Right.
That's always good when people are drinking. Darts.
We could play, we like to play board games, my friends and I.
Give us an example. I could see a really tight Trivial Pursuit going down.
Yes, we've done Trivial Pursuit.
How about paintball?
No. You know, any of those fun board games. Pictionary.
What about Twister? Naked Twister?
Yes, not naked, but because the kids are there, but Twister for
right,
sure.
Right, right.
Pictionary, I love.
Pictionary, okay.
You know, here's the thing. And I'll tell you, my thing about parties... You go to parties at adults' house, and board games, I would be bored out of my head.
Really? You don't like them?
Yeah. Here's with adults and parties, if there's dancing, that's fun.
In the house?
I don't care where it is.
Just you like to dance?
You like dancing takes a party to another level.
Dancing?
Yes, dancing.
Okay. All right.
And people, white people like us, you go to parties and people just stand around with their cocktails and they talk.
Uh-huh.
But you put on some music and people start busting the move.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But that's black people. That's
no,
not us.
I've been involved in a lot of that.
Well, you just said white people like us standing around, and then you went to bust the move.
I'm saying, for the most part, yes.
Put on some Cardi B and...
Not Cardi B.
No, not with the kids
in the
house.
Put on some old school good,
Little Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Jumping around, whatever.
Do you remember?
So wait a second. Because this... And again, don't get angry. I'm just trying to... I feel like I know you very well.
Well, don't say anything that's going to piss me off.
Well, I'm Bernie. I'm sorry. I'm with you every day the last 3 years. I love you like a brother.
Yeah.
I can't see you in somebody's house and a song comes on and all of a sudden you become Denny Terrio. Bust into some move. I can't see it.
I'm sorry. Then you don't know me that well, pal.
I guess I don't. can't see you dancing anywhere, anytime.
You know what? I'll get my wife on the phone.
Oh, here we go.
I'll get my wife on the phone and she'll back me up 1,000%.
Why don't you just put fact, on your Twitter account today.
Whenever we have, you go to a function, it's a 50th birthday party, 60th, and a lot of times my friends, they'll rent out a place for it, 40th, 50th, 60th, whatever.
Sure.
And there's a band or a DJ or something like that, and there is dancing. Or you go, we go to this Christmas party, which is for charity. You know, this happens every, this is an annual event. We dance like animals, and those are the best times.
And you're dancing.
Yes, I'm dancing, baby.
Now, what dances do you do?
I'm dancing. I don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks or how I look.
All right, we'll put on a song now, and you bust the move.
I don't have like a 5 or 6 pops in me right now.
He's got to be drunk.
Oh, okay.
I got to be a little lubed.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Now, when you hear this song, you go nuts? You go crazy?
This is one.
You do the Bernard McJerk?
The Elaine.
The ladies call it the Bonard.
Come on, Bert.
Yeah, that's how I do.
Take a look at this.
Oh,
look at this.
No, but this song sucks.
No, it's a great song.
No, it's a great song.
It's not a good dance song.
No.
Go ahead, Bernie. I'm videoing you. It's going on Twitter.
Look at this. I mean, could you be more white?
Right.
Could you be more white than Bernie?
Oh, no. Right. Doesn't matter. I'm having a good time. See, I don't care what mutts like you think on us. You see these guys standing around on the side with their arms folded.
Right.
And they're judging. Look at that idiot. Look at that moron. And I'm like, F you. I'm dancing with your wife.
Oh, no.
You F word that rhymes with maggot.
Oh, we're going to put together something for New Year's or Christmas or something for the listeners. I got to figure it out, but we will. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We got some serious stuff. We got a couple of really big-name guests. We got the sports and all that. We're only halfway done. Bernie and Sid getting ready for New Year's Eve on a Monday. Come on, like that.
Sid in the morning.
All right, had some fun there discussing New Year's Eve and what you might get from Bernie or Sid or Jill or Matt Meany. Back with hour number 3 on this Monday morning, the Bernie and Sid in the morning show. We've done a whole bunch of stuff today. More to come. Taylor Dane will be here, pop icon, 1980s, and even though it's been 30 years since her first smash album, she's got a brand new Christmas album coming out. She'll join us next hour. Yardley Smith will be here as well, and she has spent the last, talking about 30 years, playing Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons, and she's going to join us as well. Hey, Bernie, I had some fun last hour, but there was some serious stuff that went down on Friday and all weekend long, I guess, in Washington, D.C. John Kelly is out, and it looks like Donald Trump really had one guy in mind. I guess he was Mike Pence's chief of staff the last couple of years, talking about heirs to come and replace John Kelly in that role for President Trump. But Ayers says, I'm going back to the wife and kids in Georgia. No thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, supposedly, I don't know, did Trump say that would be heirs? Or was that
Trump wanted heirs. Yeah.
Did he say that? Do we have audio of him saying that?
According to the New York Times, I've got that here, yeah.
Or is it just a report that he wanted heirs?
Well, now that you say that, the president on Sunday disputed news reports that he had settled on heirs as his pick. So.
Okay, there you go. So I mean, who knows? If he didn't actually say it, tweet it, who knows if that's the truth?
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, allegedly he'll accept it on an interim basis. And as you point out, he wants to go back home to the wife and kids. He's enough of this pressure cooker called Washington, D.C. I did my piece, and I'm out.
Yeah.
And so is apparently Kelly, who, I mean, it's got to be one hell of a tough job.
Listen, I don't know anybody who wasn't there with both of those guys who didn't say they hated each other. It wasn't even a respect thing. Kelly thought he was an idiot. Trump couldn't stand him. He did. It was just a matter of time before it was over, and now it's over. So.
And everybody hated Kelly as well.
I mean,
everybody from our friend Anthony Scaramucci to a lot of people.
Omarosa hated him.
who thought... that he was blocking people from having access to the president.
Well, that wasn't a thought. That was the truth.
Which may...
Even Corey Lewandowski and David Bossy told us that.
Yeah. But it may be something that needed to be done because he was so accessible. Yeah, bring him in.
According to those guys, Trump didn't feel that way. In fact, they gave us a couple of examples where Trump was angry that Kelly decided to do stuff on his own without going to Trump. And that was part of the problem. Now, David Bossy is one of the names that has come up as a possible replacement for Kelly.
No good? That guy was here. I've seen him for the last couple of years on TV, and he was here. He doesn't really impress me. And I wouldn't say it to his face. He's a nice guy.
Because you're a coward.
No, I'm not a coward. I'm a nice guy.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course you're not a coward.
I would, if I had a policy disagreement with him, I'd go at it. But I wouldn't say, listen, man, to me, you're not that good as an advocate for the president or his cause or whatever.
I
wouldn't say that. Corey Lewandowski, I would say he is good.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd be a good choice.
I was surprised when I saw his name, too. One guy they're talking about, which could help him, Bernie, if in fact they do move forward with impeachment, and it looks like they will, whether you think it's going to work or not, he'll be impeached. They seem to think the Democrats, they've got enough to try to impeach him. Anyway, what about Chris Christie?
Yeah, if he would want something like that. I would imagine the fact that he's passed over for the attorney general might ruffle the feathers of the big chubster.
Don't be stupid.
I don't think so. I think he'll take any big-time position he can get.
Really?
Chief of staff is a big deal. And again, with his legal background, if they do try to impeach him, that could work very well for President Trump.
It could be a bridge to another position somewhere.
Right.
See what I did there?
I saw you did the bridge, CGW bridge as well.
Very clever.
Yeah,
Matt got it now.
I think a little late.
Who knows? White House chief of staff. I mean, do you remember who Obama's White House chief of staff was when he left the office?
I do.
Who?
Tom Brady.
See? That's what I'm saying.
Nobody gives
a rat's ass.
Yeah. Now, what about this position? Nikki Haley's out. You know this lady from Long Island or something, but a lot of people over the weekend, I mean, anecdotal stuff, at the wedding, at parties, are like, this is the lady they're using to replace Nikki Haley?
I know this lady from Fox News. Heather Nauert. She's a very nice lady, and she was summoned by the president to work in the State Department, which she did as the spokesperson for the State Department, I believe first under Rex Tillerson, then Mike Pompeo, and she does a pretty damn good job there. I don't know if anybody could fill the boots of Nikki Haley. I think she did a phenomenal job. I think she's presidential material. This lady, who I know and like, and actually saw her down at Penn Station a couple of times, because she lives in Long Island. I don't know if she has the chops for it. I mean, I really don't. She was good on TV once in a while. She read the news on Fox and Friends. I used to see her in the green room before an O'Reilly appearance. But can she handle this type of high-pressure diplomacy and pull it off with the aplomb that Nikki Haley had?
Why does it seem like all of Fox News formers are now working with the Trump administration?
Because he was a big fan of Fox News.
Yeah, that's the only thing he watches.
And he saw talent there. But besides Heather Nauert, I mean, there's nobody else.
Bill Shine.
Oh, Bill Shine is the White House communications director. He was an off-air guy who had lost his position at Fox News and was available. What better guy to have as a communications director than the ex head of Fox News?
And he's doing a great job. No, but there's also been rumblings about Kimberly Guilfoyle when she was there, Monica Crowley when she was there. In fact, she was offered a position. So
she got it. She got a position,
right,
and had it yanked from her because of, some spurious accusations. But Guilfoyle never got anything except for a junior.
Right.
Right. That's the right position.
But there's been rumors about all these Fox News people, all of them basically. I mean, really all of them. That have been rumored to maybe work for him. In Monica Crowley's case, offered a job. So
you got Crowley, Nauert, and Shine.
Right.
And Hannity is his advisor.
Right.
Hannity, look, he puts a lot of stock. What they do is they do defend him ably, and they put on a bunch of people who actually advocate for his position. The only outlet that does that,
he
pretty much.
Them.
So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Was he going to hire somebody from PBS?
No. No, I'm okay with it.
He can hire Mika and Joe.
Yeah.
There was one other position. It was
the skunk and the skank.
Nikki Haley's job, John Kelly's job. There was one more. I believe, on, wasn't there, there was a third job on Friday. Melbourne, was that it, just those two?
A third job on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, let me think here.
It was Kelly, he left, somebody to replace Nikki Haley, and I thought there was one more, but I don't remember. It's fine.
I don't know. I don't think so. Not
okay.
I mean, not that I know of. But, look, he had a rough week, this whole thing about him paying off Stormy and Karen McDougal. We already knew about that. I mean, I don't see how all of a sudden now it's a federal crime. Obama did the same sort of situation. It's a campaign violation. Usually, it's usually a fine is what the payment is for it. Is what the punishment is for it is a fine. So I don't know all of this apocalyptic talk as far from the Trump perspective of him being indicted and going to prison, where that's coming from.
There's only one person saying that, Adam Schiff. That's it. The Democrats are more excited that now they've got something to impeach him on. They're not saying he's going to jail. They're not saying he did something criminal. Schiff is. Adam Schiff is.
He's going to be the head of the House Oversight Committee, which is a very important committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Look, he had a tough... The stock market crashed, but there was various reasons for that. They arrested some Chinese lady in Canada who apparently headed this big telecom company from China.
China.
Which was violating the rules against doing business with Iran, and also involved in intellectual theft and all that stuff, and the market crashed. So it was a tough Friday with the sentencing guidelines for Manafort and for this creep, this sad-faced clown, Cohen.
Right.
And now James Comey, right? He's saying that.
Sad-faced simp. James Comey said squat.
I know, but he's
actually, Donald Trump came at Comey and said, I've never heard somebody said, I don't remember, I don't know, more in 6 hours than Comey did on Friday. That was a joke.
Comey is he's guilty of everything that they're accusing Trump of meddling in the election, of... perhaps colluding with Russia when it comes to that stupid dossier. I don't want to get into the weeds here with all of this crap, but Comey is one of the sleaziest MFers to ever come down the pike as an FBI since Hoover.
Yeah.
It makes me mildly nauseous.
Plus the fact, don't forget, we lost 41 last week. We had 3 days of pomp, circumstance, and ceremony. And a lot of people are saying, he'll never be that. President Trump, you'll never be that. A lot of people saying that.
Yeah, they used that occasion to trash Trump, which was really classy, wasn't it? Oh, I know what it is. It's also the Attorney General.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That's right.
Replacing Jeff Sessions. There was another job. Thank you. And Chris Christie's been mentioned for that, too.
And speaking of which, this guy, the guy they nominated, is the same guy that was Attorney General for George Bush 41 back in the day, from 91 to 93.
Billy Barr.
Billy Barr was George Bush 41's Attorney General.
Yeah.
And he said great things about the guy. So if these same people now who revised history and said that George H.W. Bush 41 was the greatest guy, when back then they were kicking his ass left and right so they could get Bill Clinton in there. They were calling him a racist, a patrician, every other day, out of touch, everything, a wimp, all of this stuff. And now they lauded him just so that they could get at Trump. Now, if they go after his pick for Attorney General, they're going to look a little hypocritical. So it might have been a shrewd move on the part of the Trump administration to pick this dude.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows,
I
God.
Don't know. Who the hell knows?
I just know that, like, this, like, I can see, like, the Christmas special, 41, God rest his soul, Barbara, God rest her soul, Jeb and Georgie and Laura and all them sitting around the fire. Little Mel Torme in the background. I can see it, you know. I can see it with Obama, quite frankly. Him and Michelle sitting there with their two daughters. I don't see the Donald Trump Christmas special coming anytime soon. I just don't see it. I don't see Eric and Donnie Jr. and the wife that left him because she was with the Raps. What is her name again?
Marla Maples?
Oh, no, that's enough. That's one of Donnie. Yeah, that's the president's wife. I mean the kid.
Junior.
Oh, Junior's, right, that's right. And
so you think that it's going to be an unhappy Christmas for the Trumps, is what you're saying?
I mean, I don't know if it'll be happy or not. It seems like there's a lot going on, you know?
Well, fortunately, they seem to have the capacity to take it all. I mean, it's brutal. It's really brutal, the attacks that they come under, as you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, they won.
They're president. I mean, no. I'm president and you're not. He did win the Senate, the midterms. He lost 40 seats in the House. The Democrats picked up 40 seats. They regained the House. Obama, in 2010, 2 years in, he lost 68 seats. And he lost about 7 or 8 senators. Trump picked up senators. So despite what you read and the way things are portrayed, it's not as grave as all that.
No, it's not.
Boy, did we win.
Yeah, big win. But he doesn't like that stuff, but that's fine. So is there a big Christmas party at the White House? I'm serious, do they?
I don't know.
They have a holiday party every year. Bill O'Reilly's invited and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. They have a media Christmas party.
Probably
yeah.
At Mar-a-Lago maybe he'll go to.
Yeah, oh, Trump.
Well, he did go to Mar-a-Lago last year for New Year's. I remember I was in Florida when he was there.
He does that every year. Every year he'll go to Mar-a-Lago and have a huge party. And so he'll go from Christmas week, Christmas Day to New Year's. He'll spend the week at Mar-a-Lago. But as far as the White House goes, I don't know of anything planned. I don't think maybe they're going to have, you know, Rodman and and a couple of the old folks.
No, but I knew they do have the media party coming up. I know that, so we should be invited to that.
Because, we should, Jill.
As you hear in the open, Trump is a friend of Bernie and Sid. You too.
Should I email the White House and say where's our invitation?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You should.
I'll do it right now.
Get us in that bitch.
Where the F is our
1-800-848-WABC 1-800-848-9222. Two great guests coming up next hour, plus the Heisman Trophy given out on Saturday. And once again, Mike Francesa, he's all over it. We'll be back right after these words.
Merry Christmas.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, 88-year-old Clint Eastwood, man, still going strong. He's already won 4 Oscars. According to IMDb, and now The Mule, starring Clint Eastwood, hits theaters nationwide Friday. Eastwood playing this time around a 90-year-old World War II vet named Earl Stone. He's a veteran caught transporting millions of dollars worth of cocaine for a Mexican drug cartel. And that's not all. The soundtrack for Bruce Springsteen's Springsteen on Broadway, that'll drop Friday. And if that is not enough for diehard Springsteen fans, Netflix airs Springsteen on Broadway. That'll happen Saturday. Both based on the rocker's best-selling autobiography, Born to Run. Springsteen, he is almost 70, turned 70 next September. I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Obviously, we have a week of college football here. As I told everybody, I feel the Heisman is already wrapped up. It should be. You know, sorry, Oklahoma fans. Tua wins the Heisman.
The 2018 Heisman Trophy is awarded to Kyler Murray of Oklahoma University.
Sorry, Mike. Oklahoma fans.
It's funny that that tape actually still exists.
Well, it just happened from last week.
I know, but usually they destroy them immediately.
Oh, please. Anyway, Murray did win the Heisman as his Oklahoma team gets set to take on Alabama. And if they can get by them, which will be tough, they would take on the winner of Notre Dame-Clemson for the right to play for the national championship coming up on January the 7th. Murray is a guy, just so you know, and we'll get to your story here, Bernie, that now has been awarded the best college football player in the nation. And he's already been given millions and millions of dollars, nearly $5 million, by the Oakland A's in baseball. Guy was a top 10 pick in the draft for the Oakland A's and has already told people he wants to play baseball. But now that he's won this award, guys like Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson come to mind, and maybe he'll do both. We will see. Anyway, he does get the Heisman, and he's getting ready for Alabama. What
good,
you got?
Good for him, but he also has, did you mention the tweets?
Well, we did earlier this morning.
Yeah,
same thing as Kevin Hart.
He's got a little tweet problem. He liked to use the word queer back in the day, but I'm sure that'll pass.
It has passed.
So anyway.
It's not like Oakland destroyed the contract. Well, they took back the Heisman.
Speaking of football, remember the name Greg Hardy?
Absolutely. Dallas Cowboys, Carolina Panthers.
Keep that in mind while I tell you about the ESPN has now joined, teamed up with the UFC.
And their first, their first joint effort will be at the end, towards the end of November. And they're featuring a bunch of fights. And on the card, they're featuring some guys that are not that notable. But they also feature, remember the girl that was in here, Paige VanZant?
Sure.
She's fighting somebody named Rachel Ostovich. The two of them, some pretty hot, a couple of hot UFC females. Anyway, Rachel Ostovich, last month, was the victim by her husband of a brutal domestic abuse assault. The guy was actually arrested for a felony assault. So anyway, it turns out that on that card, Dana White decided to put in this Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy has now morphed into a, because he's no longer with the NFL because of domestic abuse allegations.
Right.
He was actually convicted. It was expunged because he paid off a civil settlement. And as part of that settlement, that conviction went away. So that's where he stood. But he's still banned from the NFL. So he had a few fights in the UFC, and he won them. He's 3-0 as an amateur, and his first professional fight in the UFC will be at this event at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Towards the end of January, in conjunction with ESPN. It will be broadcast on ESPN. So ESPN is in bed with the UFC. Now, it makes it very difficult because of his background, people are saying he shouldn't fight, especially on the same card as a woman who just a month ago had the crap beaten out of her by some guy, just similar to what Greg Hardy actually did to a woman. And so Dana White fielded some questions about it, and he seemed to dismiss the whole controversy as really much ado about nothing.
The weird thing is that you guys give a but she doesn't. She doesn't care. You know what she said yesterday in her statement? Please stop asking me about this. I want to focus on training. I don't want this to be an issue for me. I don't know this guy. This guy has nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with this guy. This guy's never done anything to me. This isn't an issue. You, your hero, and a lot of other people are making this an issue. It's not an issue for her. She actually doesn't want to talk about it anymore. And she asked you yesterday, please, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to move on with my training and focus on that. That's the end of the story. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Don't make me leave.
We'll go from a heavyweight.
I'm done with it.
So he's pretty much blaming the press.
He sounds like a moron. Seriously.
For stirring the pot.
He sounds like a moron. Well, of course she's okay with it. She wants to move on, go on with her life.
Well, that
and her career. But he should make the decision because it's the right thing to do.
And some of the criticism is that she's loath to go against something that Dana White wants. That is part of the criticism. But however, the question is this. Does Greg Hardy deserve to make a living? I mean, he paid the price. He paid the settlement. He lost his gig with the NFL. Does he deserve to make a living elsewhere at this point? Or is he relegated to being a homeless man for the rest of his life?
He deserves it, I guess, if he paid the price and he did what he had to do. Of course he deserves it. Sure, people come out of prison after committing crimes and are allowed back in the workforce. So,
and you look at Floyd Mayweather, who actually did time.
Yeah.
For beating the crap out of his significant other.
I mean, it's up to the person. I can't root for a guy like that.
Exactly. We definitely. I'll be watching, and hoping he gets his ass whooped.
I wouldn't even watch it.
Should he be able to participate in that big card at the Barclays Center, which is a big deal? Is the controversy?
Well,
and ESPN, of course, ESPN was noted for criticizing the Redskins for hiring a guy named what's his name. His name is Reuben Foster. ESPN was critical of the Redskins' decision to do that for domestic abuse reasons, and yet they're going to broadcast this particular UFC event.
Yeah, he got cut by the 49ers, and the Redskins signed him. Look, I never rooted for Michael Vick, for example. He went to prison. He did what he had to do. He deserved to play again. Couldn't root for that guy. Look, the Chiefs could have held on to Kareem Hunt, too. I mean, the video was ugly, no question. But they decided that in they would do the right thing, and it's going to hurt their football team in a big way. But they got rid of him. I mean, I think if Dana White had any class,
there's no way that they could have. There's no way that it would have been palatable to the public or anybody to hold on to Kareem Hunt. He would have had to have the price he's paying is that he got kicked off the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Just like Greg Hardy's, the price he paid was getting kicked off the Cowboys and out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Just like Kareem Hunt. But now Kareem Hunt, at some point in the future, deserves to work And similarly, that's the question with Greg Hardy. Now, here's the rub. Greg Hardy in that card, he's actually fighting Ronda Rousey.
Is that right?
No.
Dana White is still a classist.
That's
the whole
right.
sport is.
I like Dana White.
Okay, good.
But in
any
case,
he sounded like a complete moron there.
He was annoyed, it was towards the end of the press conference, whatever.
He was annoyed that they were bringing up something that was unsavory for him in the sport, and instead of dealing with it, he's telling us how she feels. Well, that's great. I mean, there are women that invite their husband back home at night after the husband beats the hell out of her. That's the choice that she makes. That doesn't make it okay.
But you do agree that the dude deserves to fight.
Maybe now, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 5 years. I also agree that if Dana White decided he can't fight for him, that may be a move I applaud. Let him find a job someplace else.
That would be a good match, though. Well, Greg Hardy's kind of big.
Greg Hardy against Ronda Rousey?
To fight Ronda Rousey. You talk about getting some eyeballs.
Oh, boy.
ESPN would be, it'd be a big night for him. But so anyway, that's a big controversy in the UFC ESPN world. And it remains to be seen whether or not that comes to fruition, because ESPN, I mean, Dana White will hold firm, but ESPN, they're essentially the perpetual pussies when it comes to stuff like this. They cave a lot, in other words. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
Suck these big artist balls.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
So we're asking about Christmas party at the White House. Well, according to the great Cindy Adams, there was not one but two Hanukkah parties at the White House.
Yeah, there was. I recall the one last week with the Holocaust survivors.
I don't know if it's the same one or not, but there was one at 2 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. One was kosher, I think she said. And Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, was in the crowd.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is this the first time the White House has had a Hanukkah party?
No, I doubt it.
Huh. Well, the first time in 8 years.
No, I don't know. Yeah. The crowd was chanting Trump, Trump, Trump.
4 more years.
Then finished the free food, according to Cindy Adams. So, two Hanukkah parties. How about that?
L'chaim.
Mike Pence was there. He said, listen, latkes don't go well with gingerbread. Billionaire Sheldon Adelson showed in a Make America Great Again yarmulke. How about this?
You seem shocked.
I'm kind of surprised.
Sheldon Adelson, a huge contributor to the Trump campaign and the Republican Party in general.
Yeah.
And a huge casino owner out in Las Vegas.
Yeah. So there you have it. There was, in fact,
let me guess. Jared Kushner was in attendance.
Well, I would guess so. His wife is Jewish, too, you may remember, Ivanka.
So she was
favorite
there,
child. Of course. Had to be there. They may have gone to both parties, the 2 o'clock and the 7 o'clock.
You think they did they dance the Hora?
The Hora.
Is it the horror or the Torah?
It is the
horror. The horror.
Torah is the scripture you read
from. Yes, Jill threw me off. She said Torah.
No.
That's the kind of Jew she is.
Exactly.
No,
it's the horror.
Jill is about as Jewish as Meghan Markle.
I'm still taking off Yom Kippur.
That's right.
That's the only usefulness for you.
And Rosh Hashanah, too.
That's right.
Take them both off.
What's with Kid Rock and that other guy paying off all these Walmart bills, layaways? Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, Kid Rock and Tyler Perry both paid off people's layaways.
That's very nice.
Isn't that so sweet?
Somebody else said it last week. He spent like $400,000. He wanted to remain anonymous.
That was Tyler.
Oh, that was Tyler. Okay.
If he wanted to be anonymous, then how did it get out? That's what my question. I'm like, did he really want to be anonymous? Because then he went on Twitter saying, I wanted to keep this anonymous, but...
He's generally a good guy.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, either way.
Well, then good. I mean, that's so sweet, both of them.
I don't know anything about the guy, Tyler Perry. I mean, I've seen some of his work, but... I can tell you if he's a good guy, bad guy, and nothing about him.
I know he's a good guy. Very good guy.
All right.
He makes the movies, Madea, all those.
Was him,
Which is a little suspect because he always dresses as a woman.
Always.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with dressing like, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying. That's Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
And he's playing Colin Powell in this Dick Cheney biopic coming up.
Oh, is that right?
Which is getting a tremendous amount of love.
Yeah.
The critics say it's going to win Academy Awards. Who plays Cheney again? He gained a ton of weight.
Oh, yes. I saw
that. Oh, come on. He's a big-name actor.
Is it Christian Bale?
Yes.
Bale, yes.
That's
there you go. Right.
Oh, he's a great actor.
Great actor.
But, you know, what,
American Psycho, one of the best movies ever.
He was, prior to Trump, he was the most despised Republican politician.
Yeah.
To come down to Pike since Richard Nixon.
Oh, yeah, no question.
He was loathed.
Both dicks. Dick Nixon and Dick Cheney.
You're right.
You like that, Jill. Two dicks.
Two dicks in one. But didn't he try to shoot somebody?
No, he actually did shoot somebody.
He shot somebody in the ass.
He shot his hunting partner.
Right in the buttocks. Right.
But they went out of their way to demonize. Look, what he did was wrong with the Iraq War. It was noble. His intentions were good.
That's not what they said. They said his company, Halliburton, made a ton of money.
I know.
They didn't talk about good intentions.
No. Listen, the whole idea of nation building, it was completely stupid and misguided, which is what they were trying to do. And they used lies to try to achieve it. And that's what he did. And that was wrong. But it was still, you know, the idea behind it was basically a noble idea.
If you believe that was the motivation. If you believe that he was making money, which he did, a ton of money on the war, there's nothing to do with what you're talking about. So the critics think it was all about the money. I know that sounds hard to believe that a politician may do something for the money, but that's what the critics said. There was something about good intentions.
Listen, the guy was good to go for the rest of his life. I mean, you hear that all the time. That's a convenient,
It's not convenient. It's the truth.
A convenient attack.
He did make a ton of money.
That's what they say.
Well, who's that? What do you mean?
He had some stake in Halliburton, but the real reason was nation building. It was to go over there to do what they thought was to transform the Middle East, to make it into a good neighborhood, and they thought that 9/11 was their big opportunity to do it. This is the time. And then they sort of conflated facts, distorted facts, and came up with some fake WMD to get it done. And it was turned out to be a complete and utter disaster. And the media went along with them, too, for a long time. But that's what he's guilty of. I mean, I have to say he has, you know, and as does Bush, they have the blood of good soldiers on their hands because they did mislead us.
Yep.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, no,
that's the way I've always seen it.
Yep.
But that movie comes out, and just to give you an idea, they always find somebody to demonize. I mean, now of course we know who it is, but back then Dick Cheney was just like the epitome of he was the devil.
Yeah. We had a bunch of guys. You had Rumsfeld, you had Wolfowitz, you had Condi, but he was the one that was the easiest to dislike. He was the one everybody hated.
He had that snarl.
Yeah.
he was just easy to bash.
Yep.
And Bush was, they had him as the just a stooge of all these people. And in fact, 41, who they just buried, he was angry at both Bush and Rumsfeld for pushing his son into doing what they did. Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Right.
Bush 41 was angry at the both of them, called them both iron ass.
And they used to tell him, listen, don't forget this guy. He had a bounty on your father's head. He was looking at... And that was making 43 even more crazy. I mean, every day they gave him some other reason. He was responsible for 9/11. He wanted to kill your father. And 43 is like, let's get him!
And you had a really complacent, willing press, including people like the outfits like the New York Times and everybody. No, there was no real opposition to it, sadly. And we got sucked in.
Yeah.
And now, again, as I said last week, nobody's asking why 41 didn't go up into Iraq after he kicked the Iraqis out of Kuwait. He says, no, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. Wouldn't be prudent. Coming home. And he did the right thing.
Yep. No, he made quick work. It was an easy win. It was an impressive win. And who knew that years later we'd get a heck of a lot uglier. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Pop icon Taylor Dayne. She's back in business. New Christmas song out. Everybody loved Taylor Dayne. She'll be helping on next hour. Plus, Lisa Simpson. That's right. Yardley Smith. All that and more. Fourth and final hour of Bernie and Sid on a Monday. Right after these words.
Funny. She doesn't look Jewish.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Oh, look at Jill go.
She loves this song, Tyler, to my heart. So does my wife, Danielle, loves it.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Huge Taylor Dane fan. Love will lead you back. Prove your love. I'll always love you. By the way, Taylor Dane has sold over 75 million albums and singles worldwide, earned three Grammy Award nominations, an American Music Award, multiple New York Music Awards. She's received New York Hall of Fame honors and was ranked as number 18 on Rolling Stone's list of the best female dance artists of all time. In December of 2016, Billboard magazine ranked her as the 28th most successful dance artist of all time. These are incredible, incredible honors. We got a brand new Christmas song coming out 30 years after the great success of this song, Long Island's very own, joining us right here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on 77 WABC. Say hello to Taylor Dane.
Hello, Taylor.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Wow. It's a pleasure to have you.
Amazing.
Yeah, have you been?
I'm hearing it out of your... This is quite impressive. I'm impressed.
Yeah, the song is called I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, and it's available on iTunes and Amazon, right?
Oh, hold on a second. Are you more impressed with the way that we brought you in, or are you impressed with what you've actually accomplished?
No, I mean, I think you just... I loved it. I loved the introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Incredible.
Well, Bernie...
No, a holiday, right? Christmas song. So it's this time of year. It's a very special year for me. 30 years anniversary of the release of Tell It to My Heart. Yeah, it's incredible.
You're doing a couple of local shows here. One of them from your home... Well, the home island, anyway, Long Island, Greenvale, New York, at the Tillis Center on November 30th. And then December 1st at the Wall Street Theater in Norwalk, Connecticut. A couple of good local shows there.
Yes, yes, yes. All for the Colors of Christmas tour. And that's been going on. It's been an amazing collaboration. Peebo Bryson, Denise Williams, John Cicada. It's an amazing, beautiful family concert, if you will. Christmas songs and some of our classics and joining together in these strong voices. It's incredible. And obviously releasing this, you know, song myself right now, and then for the launch of my book coming out on Valentine's Day. So it's been an incredible ride and 30 years marking it. So wow. I appreciate it all, and thank you so much. Who doesn't know Tell It to My Heart? Who doesn't know Taylor Dane? So
nobody.
It's pretty amazing.
Right. You know, it's funny because it seems like every couple of years, every decade or so, Taylor, there seems to be like two, three, four, five girls that come out and they tend to compete with each other. You know, we had the Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Right. And then, you know, I know you were a little before, but you were around the time of girls like another Long Island girl, Debbie Gibson and Tiffany. That was about your era, right?
Yeah, I think they look, Kip, but Debbie's a fellow Long Islander, yes. Definitely. She launched probably around the same time. Sure. Tiffany. Absolutely. Belinda Carlisle had her solo album.
Yep.
Paul Abdul. Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you avoid all the, you know, the Dancing with the Stars, Celebrity Apprentice, all these dopey shows? I mean, you just stayed stuck with music.
I stuck with music. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting on a chair on The Voice and Dancing with the Stars and all that. I applaud them. We've had conversations about getting on there especially I think it was originally on American Idol. I mean, you've just seen how it's become so over the years. I mean, it's come, it's gone, but I think it's an incredible platform for people to see musicians again in a different light. Obviously more as a journey, but it's really, it's as the landscape has changed from, as we know, you know, the internet and obviously music sharing and files. So, at least seeing something every day, every week, and getting accustomed, you know, seeing the people that you love their music. I mean, look what it's done with Adam Levine and Kelly Clarkson. It's incredible. That's a great platform.
No doubt.
Taylor Dane, by the way, born Leslie Wunderman, very Jewish. But she did. renamed herself Taylor Dane. Look, I know you're very active of the LGBT community. You never married, but you had kids. Is that right, or am I wrong here?
Close, but not close enough. But yes, I have twins. Yes, they're incredible. They're turning 17 shortly.
Wow.
Been a ride. I know.
Wow. Yeah. So are you happy? Are you happy here in 2019 here, Taylor? Are you happy with the way the LGBTQ community gets treated? Do you think we've come far? Do you think that we've taken a step back? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, look, as a single mom and as a woman that definitely pioneered through being a single parent and my friends and people in the industry that I've worked with, I believe what I've seen over the last 30 years of my career, I've seen small, you know, starting out at some of these prides, if you will, and some of these, I've seen such community come together, and I've seen children of some of the parents over the years. I've seen it's in the thousands. We've created families together, you know, my friends, you know, I've watched a lot of growth in the LGBT community, and I really, everybody has really stepped in to say to each other, you know what, we all have a voice, and, you know, anti-bullying. There's been a lot of growth. I have to say a lot of growth.
So how's
recognizing families for, you know, individually as families, and everybody sharing and needing to feel safe and secure in their relationships.
Yeah, no, we've come a long way, thank God. Now, listen, how does Taylor Dane come from Baldwin and Freeport?
From the Bronx.
Just like me, I'm the BX, and I'm Long Beach as well. And Joan Jett is from Long Beach as well. How do you go from that to becoming an international star the way you have?
I don't know, other than every day. From 5 years old, you go, I'm going to be a little rock star. I'm going to be a star. I'm going to be a star. I'm going to be a star. And you sing and you sing and you sing and you continue on that path, and you just know that you're going to, this is your destiny. And that's all I did. And if anybody kind of wants to hear a short version of it, just to see my TED talk, it was brilliant. And that's what's kind of led to really the foundation for this book, the book release, which is Tell It to My Heart. What a better name. What a better title than that for my book.
Right, coming out, like you said, on Valentine's Day of this year. Right. So, but was there one moment, you know, listen, every entertainer has that one moment. Maybe you were performing on the Today Show. I don't know. But was there one moment where you said, holy jeez, I'm like a real star?
Yeah, I have the writing of this book is definitely, well, I think, God, from the moment I remember meeting Prince for him, you know, and I just finished doing Montreux. I was the breakout artist in Europe, and this was what, 98? This was 88, excuse me. And when he was like, I've been wanting to meet you, you know, and I'm like, wow, for opening up to Michael Jackson, this is all in the very,
wow,
very beginning. I think those are moments where you kind of pinch yourself and reflect for a hot second, because quite frankly, you don't have any other, there's not a moment more of time to reflect. You're so busy moving. This was prior to cell phones, guys, and internet.
Yeah, absolutely. A long time ago. And speaking of which,
well, when it started, yeah.
It's about around when it started. But I would also ask you this, Taylor Dane. I mean, you've stayed on the straight and narrow pretty much all these years. A lot of people get into music, and they go, you know, the drugs and stuff like that. But you never did that.
Well, let's put never in a different file, guys. What I never did was succumb.
Right.
No, I always used to say I'm like Dorothy on the Yellow Brick Road. I've fallen off. I've just definitely always wanted to go to Oz. And whatever Oz represents to you, whatever that place is, whatever that goal is within, it's very important that we have these marks in our lives and these goals that we set for ourselves weekly, monthly, yearly, because it's so important for us, you know, because as you know, happens.
Yes.
As we do know.
Yep.
And the most important thing is how you get up and get back on the horse.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Dane, this is our new song playing right here, right now, Christmas song, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, available today,
yes,
folks, on Amazon and, of course, iTunes as well. Big show is coming up for Taylor, November the 30th, Tiller Center in Greenville, New York, and December 1st, the Wall Street Theater in Norwich, Connecticut. Those actually were on already, excuse me. Anyway, Taylor Dane, the new album is out. The book is coming out Valentine's Day, and you were wonderful. Congratulations, and thanks for coming on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Taylor Dane. And once again, this is I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm.
I've got my love to keep me warm. and Sid in the Morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, TMZ reporting that Offset is reportedly still madly in love with Cardi B. And they say he plans to pull out all the stops to try and get Cardi B back. She apparently doesn't seem to care, though. She announced their split on social media last week. They have a four-month-old daughter together. She says she and Offset, well, they tried to get back together for one hot minute. Oh, TV tonight, another Christmas specialist, CMA. Country Christmas airs tonight, 9th annual. Reba McEntire hosting. And a breach of contract deal has been reached between Lindsey Buckingham and Fleetwood Mac. They kicked him out of the band. He sued for $12 million that he says he was owed. He says they've reached a settlement. No details being revealed, though, but he says he's happy with it. I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Got to prove your love.
Yeah, more Taylor Dane. Prove Your Love, great song. Yardley Smith will join us in about 15 minutes. She's been playing Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons for 30 years. And she's got something else going on. I don't know. We'll say this. I thought it was a little embarrassing. I don't know. Maybe it's not, but I thought it was. In page 6 today, they're talking about our friend. You know, we talked earlier about how Trump likes the Fox News people. And Monica Crowley got a job. And there were rumors that Kimberly Guilfoyle may get a job. And Bill Shine's got a job. And anyway, we know that Trump, his loyalty is to Fox News. Well, Abby Huntsman, longtime co-host, Fox and Friends, Fox News, got a job a couple of months ago as one of the girls at the table, as they like to say.
She's so pretty.
On The View, beautiful girl. And her father, by the way, John Huntsman, politician out of Utah, is a very handsome guy. Beautiful hair, always tan, looks great. Anyway.
Right.
She goes to The View a couple of months ago. It's kind of, I guess, her and Megan against Sonny, Whoopi, and Behar, I guess.
Well.
No?
She tends to be more neutral. Megan tends to be more aggressive, adversarial. And Abby Huntsman tends to just go with the flow.
Okay. Well, whatever she tends to do is not good enough.
No, it's not.
And now they've gotten her a coach. A coach.
You got to be all in. And they say her chemistry is lacking with the other chicks. Can I say that? Is that a hate crime?
I don't care.
With the other ladies.
Yeah.
And so they say that she may be leaving soon.
She's had enough. That's it?
According to page 6.
Now, where is she going to go? Where's she?
The Trump administration.
She just like our friend Jedediah Bila, who was a host on The View.
Right.
She went back to Fox News. I'm sure Abby Huntsman can do the same. Why not?
And do you think it's because the chemistry is not there? You think now that she got there, she really can't stand Whoopi and Joy Behar? What do you think is the real...
No, I think my personal assessment, and I don't watch it that often, is, again, you have to be all in. They want... like what we heard last week between Meghan McCain and Joy Behar when they went at it, that's what they want. That's what they need. They don't need somebody who's going to take a position that nobody can really argue with about, that's going to agree with you and it's going to agree with you. She lacks passion, right? She tries to just, she tries to take it in the middle.
Be friends with everybody. She looks great. She's pretty. And I get, yeah.
She's walking on eggshells. It feels like.
It does feel that way. Yeah. She's got to have convictions. I mean, your opinions have to be strong.
Yeah.
You got to get up all in Whoopi's face.
No half measures. You got to stick it right in Whoopi's face. As
she likes it like that.
As
Ted Danson did.
Right.
Jill.
Yeah.
Yes, right. What was he thinking? But
get out of my vagina.
Yeah. That was when he was a big star, too. That was like right after Cheers, and he was the man.
I know.
What a weird couple. When I think of the weird couples,
oh God,
like Julia Roberts and who's the country singer? Yeah, Lyle Lovett.
What was that about?
That was weird. But I got to think Whoopi Goldberg, Ted Danson, that may be the weirdest of all.
Yeah,
I think any man with Whoopi Goldberg to me is weird. I don't care who he is.
Any man that has a shot at another woman and you choose Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, my God.
What about Paulina?
She was never attractive.
No.
Paulina with the guy from
Rick Ocasek. Yeah. But you know what? But there are gorgeous girls, gorgeous, that love rock stars. Yeah, yeah. Ugly rock stars.
Rich rock stars.
Right. So that one didn't bother me as much.
Billy Joel, Christine Brinkley. No, I guess because
it's
weird.
No, that's fine.
But Whoopi. I mean, this is just for me. I find Whoopi to be one of the most unattractive people I've ever seen. Ever.
But she's funny.
She dresses for, my God, I mean, she's funny.
When was the last time Whoopi Goldberg was funny?
On the Oscars in 1985.
She wasn't funny then. Maybe Sister Act. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And she was great. And she wasn't funny, but she was great in Ghost. She could act.
Yeah.
But she ain't funny. She would do those shows with Robin Williams, God rest his soul, and Billy Crystal on HBO. They were awful. They were never funny. You're I don't know what's funny about Whoopi.
But if you're Ted Danson, I mean, maybe not Heather Locklear, but I mean, you could get whatever.
I don't care who you are. Why would you pick Whoopi?
All I'm saying is if you have the options, why pick Whoopi? If you have no options, well, maybe.
I don't even know then.
All right. Yeah, listen. Yeah. I'm of the, well, whatever. Right. Doesn't matter what I am.
That would drive me to the penis.
Yeah, I think Whoopi, she's disgusting.
Yeah, thank you, President. I think she would drive me to the penis, Whoopi Goldberg.
You'd rather be, who's the gay guy who
Milo.
Appears?
Milo.
No, the other guy. This the guy, you know who he is. I know his brother.
I know his brother.
Yeah.
Oh, Mario Cantone.
Mario Cantone.
The great Joey Cantone.
He used to appear on The View regularly. You would rather go to Mario Cantone.
Than Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Really? You'd rather go gay than...
Than Whoopi Goldberg? 100%.
I'd rather go solo.
You don't have that option here.
If you had to choose.
Oh, yes, I do.
Whoopi, no. In this game in that this we're game. Playing, it's Whoopi Goldberg or Mario Cantone. Where are you going?
I'd rather go with Bernard Goldberg.
Damn it, it's about time.
I mean, just so nasty. God.
So in FMK, she'd get picked for K, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, she's doing great.
So
she's worth millions and millions of dollars.
Good to go. She,
right? Barbara Walters loves her.
She's fat as a house.
Oh.
She used to be back at Kaufman Astoria Studios, and she insisted, when we were there, and she insisted on smoking. There was nobody would tell us that I can't smoke. She smoked inside, indoors.
Really?
On studio, and they let her get away with it because she was so damn adamant about it. And she was such a big star.
Yeah.
And then she continued smoking when she was on The View and eventually stopped. But, yeah, I remember seeing her back at Kaufman Astoria Studios.
What was she there for? The Hallmark Channel?
I don't know what the hell it was. I can't remember.
No, not the Hallmark. What is that, the women's channel? They do shows from the, what do you call it?
TLC?
No,
Own?
No.
Lifetime?
Lifetime, thank you.
Right.
Lifetime. That's in the basement in Astoria.
Yeah.
I know that when I went to, last time I went to Rayo's, not with Bo, with Scaramucci, and you know the story that I took a picture with Anthony, and I went to the owner, and I said, you got to take Whoopi Goldberg off the wall. You can't have Whoopi Goldberg on the wall at Rayo's.
Not at Rayo's.
By the way, she's still there, so.
Yeah. They didn't listen to you.
They didn't listen. She's still a much bigger star than me and or Anthony Scaramucci, so. Despite the fact that it's an Italian place.
It's inclusive.
She's on the wall.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg and a mob-themed restaurant.
Right. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't.
I couldn't even see Sammy Davis in there, and he was at least Sinatra's friend. Whoopi Goldberg, come on, Rayo's.
Yeah, but anyway, Abby Huntsman, she'll land on her feet. She'll do just fine.
Is she good? I mean, I've seen her boxing, friend.
She's milquetoast. She's like I say, she leans a little to the right, and she's pretty.
She's very. She's not pretty. She's very pretty.
She could go on and she could read news. She'll be fine. She'll be all right. They'll get somebody else. They need somebody. To bicker. That's what they do on The View. That's when it succeeds, is when they bicker.
Need somebody like Chelsea Handler.
Well, they have enough lefties. They need somebody to the right to balance it out. Because
like
Meghan McCain would otherwise be by herself. It would be like a conservative going on Bill Maher's show. It doesn't work.
He said Michelle Malkin? I don't know. She's kind of...
No, she would get into a fist fight. No way.
No good.
She's too
smart.
She's too strident. And she's too smart. You're right.
She would spit in Whoopi's face.
She would kick their ass intellectually and then maybe try to physically.
What about Coulter?
Ann Coulter, she doesn't have the patience. She goes... You know how she is. She talks too long. She doesn't know... Ann doesn't seem to know that, we're time limited.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
We've had her on the show many times.
Yeah, yeah. And she's mad at Trump anyway about the whole wall.
She's about the wall, but that's okay. That's fine. I mean, that's a position she takes, but she wouldn't work on The View.
Wouldn't work.
No, and plus they hate her too much. She would say stuff. You know, once Bill O'Reilly went on The View, and Whoopi and Joy got up and walked out.
I know, I remember that.
I mean, they're such snowflakes. They're such babies. They can't, they act like tough guys, and they're not.
No.
Babies, little babies.
Thank you, President Trump. We'll take a short break when we get back. Again, it's a big year for The Simpsons. They're celebrating their 30-year anniversary. Yardley Smith, actress, been in a lot of movies, a lot of good stuff. She's played Lisa Simpson over the last 30. She'll join us right after this. It stinks in here.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Does this mean you still want to be friends? Even though I tried to cover up my nerdish leanings?
Look, we don't care who you were. You can't fake the kind of good person that you are.
I got a bratty brother. He bugs me every day. And this morning my own mother, she gave my last cupcake away. I'm a Buddhist! Hey, I'm a Buddhist!
30 years, huh? You know, people forget it started as this little short little thing on Tracy Ullman's show on Fox. They were like 2 or 3 minutes long, The Simpsons. And then, boom, December 17th, 1989, it became its own show, and it's now going 30 years, celebrating 30 years this year. As is it the most successful, longest-running show on television?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And that, of course, Lisa Simpson. You know the parents, Homer and Marge, and you got Bart and the little baby Maggie. Lisa, the older sister, and Yardley Smith is the voice of Lisa Simpson. And here she is, making her debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on 77 WABC. Good morning, Yardley.
Good morning to you.
Congratulations on all that's going on here. 30 years with The Simpsons, your very cool Small Town Dicks podcast. It's not what it sounds like. And also the role in The Legend of Billie Jean. You got a lot going on, Yardley. Way to go as 2019 approaches.
Thank you. You know, I like to stay busy, so I stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just start with, tell us about your podcast that Sid alluded to there, Small Town Dicks. It's in season three, actually. Tell us about Small Town Dicks.
So Small Town Dicks is a true crime podcast about the big time crime that's happening in Small Town USA. And my co-host, Zibby Allen, and I are good friends with our other co-hosts, who are detectives Dan and Dave, who are identical twin detectives in Small Town USA. And every time we would get together, we would say, hey, tell us about your day. And their days were so much more interesting and exciting and harrowing than my day has ever been. And we thought, you know, this should be a podcast. And there was something really intriguing about hearing these stories from the detectives who actually broke the case. So that's the premise of our podcast. Wow. All of our cases are told by the detectives who actually worked the case.
Ah, listen, it's done great. Over 1.3 million downloads. I know for me, Yardley, I'm addicted to the ID channel. And, for example, there's some detective named Joe Kenda who's in Colorado Springs. You know that is, right?
Yeah, we actually went to a crime convention in Washington, D.C. last month, and we sat down and had drinks with Joe Kenda. He's fantastic.
There you go. So, I mean, and again, I have no idea how many crimes he actually solved. I mean, he seems larger than life on his own television show. But the point is, it is incredibly intriguing. You hear some real heinous crimes in little small towns with very few people, and it certainly does catch your attention.
I think it does, and I think, you know, there's a real, I mean, true crime has never been bigger than it is now. And I think my theory is that people, a few things. People like the good guys to win. People, we like heroes, you know, hence the massive success of things like all of the Marvel movies and anything where, obviously, the good guys prevail. And also, I think there's, inside most of us, there's a little thing like, oh, God, there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Right.
Like the guy who I live next door to who seemed so nice and had a family and five kids, and he also has 12 bodies buried in his backyard.
Oh,
so, how did that happen? How did I not see it? And so, and when you hear it from the mouth of the detectives, you realize these are the people who are going towards all of the things that the rest of us run from. You know, they they walk out the door, get in the car, and they go toward the danger. And that's a real calling. And Zibby and I just thought that was endlessly interesting. And so our podcast has been really, really successful. In a little over a year, we have over 2 million downloads. And
wow.
Really?
Well, congratulations. That is fascinating. Yardley Smith, who plays the voice of Lisa on The Simpsons, as Small Town Dix is killing it, no pun intended. And Lisa, you play, again, the most intelligent of the kids on The Simpson family, and you were bullied as a child, from what I understand, because of your voice. Tell us about that and how that shaped you.
You know, I think, of course, they made merciless fun of my voice because it's high and nasally, and it's not much different now. And but I do like to say, hey, who has the last laugh now?
Right.
But, you know, and when I auditioned for The Simpsons, I'd actually never done voiceover, and I had no interest in doing voiceover. And I think part of that was, having been teased so mercilessly for having a funny voice as a kid, it never occurred to me that I could actually turn that into a really positive experience. So that was one of the unexpected byproducts, certainly, of getting the job. But I think if you can, because I'm sure everybody in their life has some experience of being bullied, or certainly encountering somebody who doesn't want to be your friend and sort of goes out of their way to make your day pretty unpleasant, how do you learn to rise above that? How do you decide that person's not right about me?
You stab them.
You kill them, right, of course.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Or you grow up to be really successful. Okay?
Right. There you go.
You could do that.
Right, even better. Well, you know, I always wonder what... Now, of course, this is a cartoon on television, but there are real people like you that are doing the voices. What is the relationship like between you and the other folks, Bart, Homer, Maggie, Marge, when you're not doing The Simpsons? What is relationship like? Are you guys like family?
Yes, you know, in many ways, I think we are like family. We don't actually socialize outside of the show, but when we're all together, so most of us are all together when we record an episode, we do it like an old radio play, which is actually quite unusual for voiceover these days. There is such delight and respect and joy for what each one brings to their character and their part, and I'm really not just saying that. Like, I stand between Dan, who does Homer, Grandpa, Krusty, Mole Man, you name it,
yep,
and
right.
And Nancy, who does Bart. She also does Nelson and Kearney and Ralph. And to see Dan, for instance, go from one character to another, and he has an entire 2 pages of dialogue just with himself, and he doesn't even pause.
Wow.
Never gets old.
Wow.
You just sit there with your mouth open.
Wow.
With complete delight.
Yeah, the talent is incredible. And listen, I have to ask you, of course, Hank Azaria, they got rid of him, the voice of Apu. They said it was the depiction of an Indian-American was racist. How did the cast react to the uproar and his dismissal?
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem they haven't actually figured out what to do about Apu ultimately, but we always really loved the character, and it was just really sad to us that people didn't love him as much as we did and found him offensive. We never, ever, ever intended that. And I just think Apu is one of the best, most big-hearted,
yes,
funny, well-rounded characters,
yeah,
on our show. But we try to be sensitive to what the fans are telling us, and so the writers are still in discussion about that.
Right. And before you run here, I know you've done some great movies. We actually had a caller call in this morning, Yardley, say, hey, I loved her in City Slickers in 91, really loved her in As Good As It Gets in 1997. Tell us a little bit here on your way out about the legend of Billie Jean.
Oh, the legend of Billie Jean. I get recognized for that movie about twice a week, that one and Maximum Overdrive, which was the one that Stephen King directed,
yep,
with Emilio Estevez. And that one actually just came out on DVD with commentary, which is fun. And the legend of Billie Jean, I remember thinking when I did it, it was my second film, and I thought, oh my God, this is going to make me a star, and then it was just a massive bomb when it came out. But at the same time, cable television was rearing its pretty little head, and they needed content. So they ran The Legend of Billie Jean, you know, like 24 hours a day for months at a time, and then for years at a time, and now it's become this huge cult classic, and I just love it. It's a sweet movie. It's charming and fun, and I loved doing it, and it's really, I like that it's finally found its place somewhere in the love of 1980s cult films.
It's another win for
listen,
you.
Listen, congratulations on 30 years with The Simpsons, Yardley Smith, and also your podcast, Small Town Dicks, folks. You got to check this out. Yardley Smith, we appreciate it. We thank you, and wish you Godspeed.
Thank you. I'm wondering if I could just. I'm hoping that you might give me the middle nickname Arthur. Can I just be one of those?
Wow!
People
how about that?
Who gets to be Yardley Arthur Smith.
Wow!
You got it.
Arthur Simpson.
How do you know that?
You know, I try to pay attention.
Oh my God!
That's funny.
That is great, wow. Yardley.
Yardley Ferris. How about that?
Oh my God! Thank you. She knows what's going on. She wants a middle name Arthur, something I've been doing in this business for about 20 years, nicknaming everybody Arthur. Oh, Yardley, thank you. That was very sweet. Thank you. God, that was great.
Thank
nice.
You. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right.
Made my whole day. We'll come back and wrap things up right after this. Bernie and Sid in the morning.